Go ahead and call our meeting into order. Today is September 16th, 9:03 a.m. of the year 2019. Board's mission is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the public. We seek to use the services of the nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers pursuant to ARS 38431.02. Notice is hereby given to the members of the state of Arizona, the Board of Examiners, the nursing care institution administrators, and assisted living facility managers known as the Board, and to the general public that the Board will hold a regular monthly board meeting, which is open to the public. Today, September 16th, 2019, regular board meeting at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, meeting ceremony 5007 at 9:03 a.m. Persons with disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as sign language interpreter, by contacting Alan Hemming at 602-364-2273 or through the Arizona Relay Service at 711. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time to arrange for accommodation. Board President reserves the right to change the order of the items listed on the agenda except for matters scheduled at a specific time. The agenda is subject to 24 hours prior to the meeting. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon majority vote quorum of members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38431.0383, and may hold executive sessions on agenda items 4 through 10 for the purpose of discussion or consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38431.0382. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential. You must refer to the resident by their initials or use the word resident. Items that are referenced as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless a board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from the other consent agenda items. The board will review and discuss and may take actions on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for September 16th, 2019 regular board meeting is as follows. Al, roll call, please.
Member Villafranca.
Here.
Member Randolph.
Here.
Member Kidder.
Here.
Member Siemens.
Here.
Member Archer.
Here.
Next is a call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board. Form so that the board is aware that they are here and that they want to speak with the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each item on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38431.02H, the board can discuss or take actions only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a future board meeting. Is there anyone here who wishes to address the board that is not listed on the agenda today? Okay, here is nothing to move forward. Approval of the minutes, board review consideration and action on approval of minutes for August 12, 2019 regular board meeting. I move to approve.
Second.
Mr. Chair, there's one amendment under attendance. They should add AEG Elizabeth Campbell, which was our advisor. It wasn't listed on there.
So I will approve with the amend to add what Al said.
Second.
Susan, all in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next is the formal administrative hearings for motions to deem allegations admitted.
Copper.
Okay, first on the agenda item is A2. It is case number 18-248, Monique E. Lemire.
She just came in.
Yes, sir. I think she just came in, counsel.
Okay.
Monique?
Yes. Were you in me?
Yep, we're waiting on you. Okay, today is September 16th, 2019. This is the date, place, and time at 9:09 a.m. We're the matter dealing with Monique E. Lemire. Case number 18-248, scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Examiners and Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. Subject to this hearing is set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been violations of the Board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Roll call now.
Member Villafranca?
Here.
Member Randolph?
Here.
Member Kidder?
Here.
Member Siemens?
Here.
Member Archer?
Here.
Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint notice and hearing, the respondents' answers, if any, were filed, and all pleadings of record. If all parties please identify themselves, we'll start with the state and the respondent.
Sabrina Khan, Assistant Attorney General. Morning, Laura Martin.
And Ms. Laura, are you represented by an attorney?
No.
Are you ready to proceed?
Yes.
Do you understand that you have the right to be represented by an attorney?
Yes.
Do you understand that by proceeding without representation of legal counsel that you're waiving your right to such representation at this hearing?
Yes.
Of course, you may seek legal counsel in any subsequent proceedings, such as an appeal. And do you understand that this hearing is your opportunity to present testimony and evidence on your behalf?
Yes.
Do you understand that should you appeal the board's decision, the record that you make at this hearing today will be evidence considered by a court in determining whether the board's decision was proper? Is the state ready to proceed?
It is.
A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. Technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judgment, judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. Then the respondent shall present their case. The burden of proof in an administrative hearing is a preponderance of evidence, which means sufficient evidence to establish that a fact is more likely true than not. After it hears all the evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or to take appropriate disciplinary actions. All persons who are called as witnesses in this matter, including the respondent, if you could please raise your right hand and be sworn in. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Great. Before hearing testimony from witnesses, are there any preliminary matters that the board should consider?
None from the state.
Does the state wish to make an opening statement?
It does.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. Again, my name is Sabrina Khan. I represent the state in the matter of Monique Lorimer, board case number 18-248. Ms. Lorimer is a certificate holder of this board, which permits her to manage assisted living facilities in the state of Arizona. Her certificate number is 08311. The board is tasked with the protection of the health, safety, and welfare of one of the public's most vulnerable demographic, the elderly. One of the ways the board protects this vulnerable population is to ensure that managers that oversee facilities are in compliance with state and federal regulations. The state will present testimony and evidence through the board's investigator and executive director. that Ms. Lorimer received a Department of Health Services survey which revealed deficiencies. At the conclusion of this hearing, the state will request that the board appoints discipline as it deems just and necessary to remediate the conduct. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Does the respondent wish to make an opening statement? And will the state call their first witness?
Well, the first witness is Philip Smith.
Mr. Smith, if you could spell your name.
Sure, it's Philip with one L, Smith is S-M-Y-T-H. I am the board's investigator. I received a statement of deficiencies, as I do every month, to the Department of Health Services that triggered a complaint investigation on the manager of this particular facility who initially disputed a war alarm, and it turned out that was incorrect information provided by DHS. Later learned that Ms. Monique Lorimer was in the facility.
Okay. And is Ms. Monique Lorimer a certificate holder of this board?
Yes, it's certificate number 08311, however, I believe it's currently expired.
Okay. And what facility did Ms. Lorimer manage at the time of the survey?
Facility is called Above and Beyond Senior Care, located in Elmer Arch. Mm-hmm.
And did you review all the board files related to this matter?
Yes, sir.
And so you're very familiar with this case?
Yes.
Please take a moment and review what's been marked as state's proposed exhibit one. And you recognize this document, Mr. Smith?
Yes.
And what is the title of the document?
It is a copy of a statement of deficiencies provided to me by the Department of Health Services for a compliance inspection that they conducted at Above and Beyond Senior Care on June 12, 2018.
And is this a public document?
Yes, sir.
And is this a true and accurate copy of what you received from the Arizona Department of Health Services?
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, the state moves to admit exhibit one into evidence, please.
Hey, are there any objections? Hearing none, so moved.
Thank you. And so, General Mr. Smith, I noticed that there are different citations here in the Department of Health Services survey. Would you like to provide a summary of the citations provided in the survey?
There were a total of 8 deficiencies that DHS identified in 5 different areas, and 3 of those deficiencies were repeat deficiencies, specifically in the areas of quality management, medication services, and I believe the final one would be in emergency safety.
Thank you. Is there anything else you would like to add in regards to the survey? Okay. And so now I'd like to direct your attention to what's been marked as state proposed exhibit 2. Okay. So do you recognize this document, Mr. Smith?
Yes, sir.
And what is it?
It is a copy of the DHS Enforcement Actions Report, which was conducted on July 17, 2018, where they substantiated 2 repeat deficiencies and assessed a civil money penalty of $500 for those deficiencies.
And is this a true and correct copy of the enforcement actions report that you received from the Department of Health Services?
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, the state moves to admit exhibit 2 into evidence.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved.
So now I'd like to direct your attention to state's proposed exhibit 3. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
It is a copy of an email response that I received from Ms. Walmart on February 25th, 2019, her response to the notice of complaint.
Okay. And is this a true and correct copy of what you received from Ms. Norman?
Yes.
Statements to the exhibit three into evidence.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved.
All right. And so what does this document reveal?
Not very much. Just acknowledges that she did not apply to either request of documentation.
So were you under a different impression as to who the manager of record was?
Yes.
Okay, what was your impression?
Well, initially, DHS informed me that it was Ms. Norman's mother. When I initiated a complaint on her, she contacted me and stated that she was not the manager of the bar. So that's why I changed the licensee from the mother to the daughter.
Okay. And so is the mother the manager? Ms. Lormer, she is the manager of the facility?
This Ms. Lormer is. The other one is not.
Okay.
At least she may be the owner.
The owner of the facility. So do you know, to your knowledge, do you know who manages the property on a daily basis?
It's supposed to be morning.
Okay. So now I'd like to direct your attention to what's been marked as State's Proposed Exhibit 4. Do you recognize this document?
Yes, this is a copy of my notice of complaint that I mailed to Ms. Monique Lormer on February 8, 2019. The address of record that we have at that time.
Is this a true and correct copy of what was submitted to her, including the attachment, which is the Arizona Department of Health Services Survey?
Yes, it is.
Mr. President, the statement to admit Exhibit 4 into evidence.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved.
Mr. Smith, now I'd like to direct your attention to what's been marked as State's Proposed Exhibit 5. And do you recognize this?
Yes.
Okay, and what are these, what is this documentation?
These are three letters that are mailed to Ms. Monique Lormer at a number of different addresses of records that we have for her. The date is April 22nd, 2019, and they are invitations to the May 13th, 2019 meeting.
And so you send it to different addresses just to ensure her attendance?
Yes, because I wasn't...
Or she had notice?
Yeah, to make sure she had notice and would attend because there were so many different addresses. I was unclear as to what her actual address was, so I mailed them out to ones that I had in my files.
Okay, and so there are 1, 2, 3, 4 addresses that you sent this notice to? And did Ms. Monique Lormer appear at the May 13th, 2019 meeting?
Yes, she did.
And now I'd like to direct your attention to what's been marked as State's Proposed Exhibit 6. Are you familiar with this document?
Yes, I am.
And what is it?
It's a copy of complaint notice of hearing for today's formal hearing. That was dated July 5th, 2019, and logged by the Board's Executive Director, Alan.
Is this a true and correct copy that was submitted to Monique Lormer?
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, the statement to admit Exhibit 6 into evidence.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved.
And Mr. Smith, was this submitted to her address of record?
Yes.
Okay. And the factual allegations as provided in the complaint and notice of hearing under Roman law 3, are these factual allegations based upon, or what are they based upon?
They're based upon the deficiencies that were identified in the DHS statement.
Okay. And what was the date of the survey again?
The survey was conducted on June 12th of 2018.
And now I'd like to direct your attention to what's been marked as State's Proposed Exhibit 7. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
No, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm going to call on the Executive Director, Mr. Alan Eimink, to testify as to Exhibit 7, please. And Mr. Eimink, could you please take a moment and review what's been marked as Proposed Exhibit 7?
Okay.
You recognize this document, sir?
I do.
Okay, and what is it?
It's an email.
Okay, and who is the email from?
Monique Lormer.
Okay, on what date?
August 12th, 2019 at 2:35 p.m.
Okay, is this a true and correct copy of the email that you received from Ms. Lormer on August 12th, 2019?
Yes.
Mr. President, the state moves to admit Exhibit 7 into evidence.
Any objections? Hearing none, so moved.
And Mr. Eimink, what is What does the email include?
It includes a response to the complaint notice of hearing.
Okay. And did you correspond further with Mr. With Ms. Lorimer after she submitted this?
No, I forwarded it to Sabrina Kahn.
Okay. And so this would be her answer to the complaint and notice of hearing. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Okay. So we'll let Ms. Lorimer explain her answer to the board. Does her answer address the deficiencies in the Department of Health Services survey?
It appears to.
Thank you. I have nothing further from Mr. Iden or Mr. Smith at this time.
Okay.
Cross-examination on Ms. Lorimer.
Absolutely. I'm getting back up to my spiel. Okay. So now it's your opportunity to ask questions of the two witnesses that the state has brought forward. Do you have any questions at this time for the witnesses?
I have a question, just a response. Mr. Smith related that I am the manager of the facility, which is not true. I was only manager for 2 months. I have not been the manager since August 3rd of 2018.
You can discuss that more while you're providing your evidence. So do you have any other questions of this witness at this time?
Okay, perfect. Does the state have any additional witnesses that they'd like to call?
No.
Does the state rest?
Yes.
I have a question to Phil.
Go ahead.
Okay, Phil, she did respond initially, but she did not provide a written response until what we see in the August 12th email.
Correct.
Okay. All right, and did you say that the repeat deficiencies with medication storage, disaster, emergency preparedness, and toxic materials?
Yes.
Was there another repeat?
Is the medication being unlocked? Yeah, and the toxic materials.
Mm-hmm. Disaster drill?
Well, there's technical assistance provided here concerning the disaster.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So there could be several deficiencies revolving around the emergency preparedness that are repeats. All right, thank you.
Okay, Ms. Lerner, but now is your opportunity. If you have witnesses, and you may call yourself to present your case.
I'd like to call myself.
Go ahead.
On deficiency number 3, the medications had a box when they lock. The refrigerator, the caregiver did not lock the PLN or any of the medications after they were used that morning. So a log was formed, and materials. They had a regular key lock that was removed, and a magnetic lock was installed. So when the caregiver opens the cupboard or the drawer, she has to close it. She has to use a magnetic lock, so it's fail-proof. They cannot leave it open.
Anything else?
The care facility closed its doors. The the facility has been closed and the home has been sold.
When was this?
Several months ago, maybe, sure. And the facility was closed on January 1st of this year.
So officially it was closed January?
Absolutely so.
How involved were you?
Not very involved. I filled in for my mother. She was on the trip.
Is that your testimony today? Are you ready to rest?
Yes.
Would the state like to cross-examine?
No.
This concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear our closing arguments. The state would like to present their closing arguments.
Briefly. Mr. President, members of the board, the state has shown you the testimony of Phil Smith and Ellen Ivey that a Department of Health Services survey was conducted on in 2018 regarding the deficiencies at the Care Home facility. Given that she has, I believe her license has expired and the home is closed, the state just defers to the board's discretion to impose discipline as it deems fit. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. And now is your opportunity for your closing argument.
I would like to renew my license. Because of the pending hearing, I was not able to renew it. So I have done the continuing education credits.
Can't do it.
I just figured that you had something you wanted to add. I just heard you.
At this point, her license expires. She would have to apply as a new.
Right. So she'd have to go back for the schooling and all of that as well.
If she doesn't have it already.
Okay, so having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board can begin with general discussions or entertain motions. First item of discussion is the findings of fact. The complaint makes parties and jurisdictions at paragraphs 1 to 3, the factual allegations at paragraphs 1 to 10. The board will now discuss whether the state has proven these allegations. Is there a motion to adopt all parties and jurisdictions and findings of factual allegations in the complaint as findings of fact?
I have heard that motion. I move that the board finds that the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence, the parties and jurisdictions, the factual allegations of the complaint. I move that the board adopts these allegations as the board's findings of fact.
I'll second that.
Ken and Fred, roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Second item for discussion is conclusion of law. The complaint makes conclusions of law, paragraphs 1 to 3. The board will now discuss whether the findings of fact, which we have just adopted, constitute a violation or violations of our statutes and rules. Is there a motion to adopt all of the alleged violations set forth in the complaint as the board's conclusion of law?
I move that the board finds that the findings of fact constitute a violation of the statutes and rules set forth in the complaint, and the board adopt those alleged violations as the conclusions of law.
Second. And Fred again. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. The final issue for discussion is the board's order. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 36-446.07. Dismiss the case if it is the opinion of the board that the information is without merit. Issue a letter of concern. Issue a decree of censure. Order of probation with specific terms and conditions. Impose a civil penalty in the amount not more than $500 per violation, suspension, or revocation.
What are our opportunities here? How do we move forward? I'd like to see your retake the course, which you would have to do anyway. And as far as a probationary period, if we implement a probationary period subsequent to her successfully completing a course, passing the exam, and being approved for recertification. But, you know, this is a little bit different.
I don't think that you can impose a probationary period on an expired license and then go ahead and impose it if she does renew another license. You can only
impose discipline against what was before you, not the license that might be before you someday.
Sure. I think absolutely on having to go back and redo our manager's training certification, these are pretty much all over the place as far as the issues. And these were multitude of repeats.
Is putting a requirement in place now that would require somebody to do something if they applied for a license, is that like prior restraint or something, or can we even do that?
You can, but you could impose a civil penalty for each of these violations even though their license is now expired.
For the period that it was in place?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to do a civil money penalty? Not more than 500 per violation. And just do all the repeats. I'd like to do that.
I'll make a motion to impose a civil monetary penalty in the amount of $500. Civil monetary penalty, $500, that has been seconded by Melanie. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. This concludes the formal hearing. Board's discussion will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. Parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order and concludes the matter. Thank you. That's it. Moving on to case number 18-202, Hazel Shakir. Sign in? Okay. All right, today is September 16, 2019. It is 9:35 a.m. This is the date, time, and place for the matter dealing with Hazel Shakir. Complaint number 18-202 is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Examiners, of Nursing Care Administrators, and Assisted Living Facility Managers. If the state could identify themselves.
Sabrina Khan for the state.
State filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations of the complaint notice of hearing as admitted. If granted, the board will treat all allegations in the complaint notice of hearing is true and move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request, and then the respondent may address the board. Let the record reflect the respondent is not here. Please address your remarks to the issue of whether you received a complaint notice of hearing and why they did not file timely. Again, the respondent is not here. The state may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. What you have before you is the state's motion to deem the allegations admitted in this matter. It was submitted to her address of record with a typographical error in the zip code. However, it appears as though the respondent relocated to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and the board's executive director conducted searches regarding alternative addresses on West Beautiful Lane in another city and yielded. Did not find another address. So the state believes that it did go to her address of record. It was submitted, it was sent, I believe, through email, complaint, certified, and regular. And Mr. Iman can confirm that as well. So the state believes that she was properly noticed. Also, licensees and certificate holders have a requirement to update their address of record on file with the board. Within 5 days pursuant to ARS 41-1092.04, and then pursuant to the regulations that govern this board, that would be Arizona Administrative Code R433-107. So pursuant to ARS 36446070, the board may impose discipline for a certificate holder who fails to respond to the board within 35 days of receipt.
Thank you. I will move that the board grant the state's motion and deem the allegations of complaint notice of hearing is admitted.
I'll second.
Charles and Melanie. Roll call, Al.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Okay, the board has deemed that the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as admitted. It is the motion to adopt parties of jurisdiction, factual allegations, and alleged violations from the complaint notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of the law. I will move that the board adopts the parties of jurisdiction's findings, factual allegations, and the alleged violations from the complaint notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Second.
Charles and Melanie, Al, roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye. Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Final issue for determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law that we've adopted. We will allow parties for a brief address to the board. However, the party is not here. If the state would like to make a closing or no?
Just everything that's submitted with the state's motion. It also includes a copy of the complaint notice of hearing, and there are 33 alleged factual violations based upon the Department of Health Services survey.
Okay, we can now deliberate on the discipline to be imposed. Board can consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 36446.07. Dismiss the case if it's the opinion of the board that the information is without merit, issue a letter of concern, issue a decree of censure, order of probation with specific terms and conditions, impose a civil penalty in the amount not more than $500 per violation, suspension, or revocation. I'm more in favor of a revocation. This person is not able to be monitored by this board. She's not responded. She's not shown up. She's moved out of the state. She's not updated her address. So I will make a motion for revocation.
I'll second.
Charles and Melanie. Al, roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Motion carries. This concludes the proceeding. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order served on the parties. Parties will have other appeal rights. That will be explained in the board's order. Next up on the agenda item, case number 1901, involving Elizabeth Short. Did not sign in, is not here. Today, September 16, 2019. This is the date, place, and time at 9:40 a.m. Where the matter dealing with Elizabeth Short complaint notice 18-001, however, I've got on the agenda 19-01, is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Examiners and Nursing Care Administrators and Assisted Living Managers. If the state could identify themselves.
Sabrina Collin for the state.
Again, let the record reflect that the respondent is not present. State filed a motion for the board to deem allegations and complaint notice of hearing is admitted. If granted, the board will treat the allegations and complaint notice of hearing as true, move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violations. State will present a brief statement to the board about its request. And again, the respondent is not present. If the state would like to make their presentation.
Thank you. Yes, the state requests that the board accept the state's motion to deem the allegations admitted. The board staff mailed a copy of the complaint notice of hearing to the respondent, Elizabeth Short, on July 1st, 2019, by certified mail and regular mail to the address of record on file with the board. Service of process was completed on July 1st. Respondent has failed to answer the complaint notice of hearing. And as such, and also the complaint, that was mailed was also returned to the board staff. Again, certificate holders have an obligation to update their address on file with the board. And as such, the state requests that the board grant its motion and impose discipline as it deems necessary and just to address the conduct.
Okay. This time the board will deliberate on the rules. On the state's motion, we can begin with the general discussion or move to motion. First motion will be to determine whether to grant the state's motion. I will move that the board grant the state's motion and deem the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as admitted.
Second, because no one needs an answer.
Charles and Fred, roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Simmons.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Motion has been, the board has deemed the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as admitted. It is the motion to adopt partisan jurisdiction's factual allegations and alleged violations from the complaint notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law. I would move that the board adopt partisan jurisdiction's factual allegations and alleged violations from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusion of law.
I'll second.
Charles and Melanie, roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Simmons.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Okay, the final issue of determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of fact and conclusion of law as we've adopted. If the state wishes to make a closing statement prior.
It is at the discretion of the board what type of discipline you choose to impose based upon the factual allegations as presented in the state's complaint notice of hearing, and the state's complaint notice of hearing, which is attached as Exhibit 1, contains factual allegations as provided in the Department of Health Services compliance inspection of 1 through 9.
Thank you. We'll now deliberate on the appropriate discipline to be imposed. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 36446.07. Dismiss the case if, in the opinion of the board, the information is without merit. Issue a letter of concern. Issue a decree of censure. Order of probation with specific terms and conditions. Impose a civil penalty in the amount not more than $500 per violation. Suspension or revocation. I will move for revocation.
Second.
Charles and Fred, roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Simmons.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. This concludes the proceeding. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. Parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. Next up, case number 18-89, Nikki Nikita. Not signed in. Let the record show that it is 9:45 a.m. September 16, 2019. This is a date, place, and time of the matter dealing with Nikki Nikita. Complaint number 18-89 is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. If the state could identify themselves for the record.
Sabrina Khan for the state.
And the state filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as admitted. If granted, the board will treat the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as true and move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about the request, and the respondent, let the record reflect, is not present. If the state wishes to go ahead with her presentation.
Yes, Mr. President. The state's, before you, the state's motion to deem the allegations admitted just provides that the board has the right to deem the allegations admitted and impose discipline without conducting a formal hearing pursuant to ARS 36446070. Board staff mailed a copy of the complaint notice of hearing to Nikki Nikita, the respondent, on July 1st, 2019, via U.S. certified mail and return receipt requested in real mail. Service of process was completed on July 1st. According to the records, and you have it as an attached exhibit one, it was signed for signature of Nikki Nikita or someone signing Nikki Nikita on July 3rd, 2019. So it was received at 3:55 p.m. As explained in the tracking information as part of exhibit one. Therefore, Nikki Nikita, the respondent, was provided notice of the formal hearing and has failed to submit an answer within 35 days of being properly served. Therefore, the state requests that the board grant its motion to deem the allegations admitted and impose discipline as it deems just and necessary to address the conduct. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll move that the board, at this time, the board will deliver the rules. On the state's motion, we can begin with general discussion or move to motions. First motion to be determined whether to grant the state's motion. I'll move that the board grant the state's motion and deem the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as admitted.
Second.
Charles and Melanie, Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, the board has deemed the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing is admitted. It is, is there a motion to adopt the parties in jurisdiction factual allegations and alleged violations from the complaint notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusion of law? I'll move that the board adopt the parties in jurisdiction's factual allegations and the alleged violations from the complaint notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Second. Earl and Susan?
Now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, the final issue for determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of fact and conclusion of law that we've adopted. We will allow the parties to briefly address the issue. Again, let the record reflect that the respondent is not present. If the state would like to make a presentation.
Yes, briefly. The complaint and notice of hearing, which is attached to the state's motion to deem the allegations admitted as Exhibit 1, outlines factual allegations as it pertains to the Department of Health Services survey, where it revealed deficiencies, factual allegations 1 through 23. So it's at the board's discretion to assess the severity and impose discipline as it deems just and necessary to address the complaint. Thank you.
We will now deliberate on the appropriate discipline to be imposed. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 36-446.07. Dismiss the case if, in the opinion of the board, the information is without merit. Issue a letter of concern. Issue a decree of censure. Order probation with specific terms and conditions. Impose a civil penalty and an amount not more than $500 per violation. Suspension for revocation.
Make motion. Make motion for revocation of certificate for a kid.
I'll second.
Okay, and Melanie. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Member
Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. This concludes the proceeding. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served to the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job, John.
Good seeing you. Thank you.
Appreciate you, sir. Next up are the complaint cases. Name of the resident is confidential information in public session. The board members, staff, and the licensee shall refer to resident as resident or use the resident's initials. Consent agenda to not open a complaint investigation on facility manager. That's related to an AZDHS enforcement action, item A, 6 through 32. That's your motion?
Second.
So I'll make a motion not to open. So Charles and Fred. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. The board's going to go for a recess for 10 minutes. It is now 9:51 a.m. Starting with item B, complaint case number 19-93 involving Administrator Dustin Schaefer.
Sure, this is complaint 19-93. Licensee is Dustin Schaefer, who is present here today. Between approximately January 22nd and January 25th of 2019, DHS conducted a nursing care institution recertification survey and state compliance survey in conjunction with 5 complaint investigations at Haven of Scottsdale, located in Scottsdale. The recertification survey, state compliance survey, and complaint investigations identified approximately 8 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Mr. Schaefer was noticed of the complaint and he did provide a written response. It was on approximately May 6th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 for 3 substantiated violations, and Mr. Schaefer is here today to discuss these surveys with the board.
Thank you. I only have a few questions for you, and I'll turn it over to the board. for those licensed nursing home administrators that are serving today. My questions are, when did you become the administrator of this property?
February 28th, 2018.
And before that, were you a patient?
No, this is my first administrator role. This is my first year role as executive director. Prior to that.
You should have been patient, Phil, on his history. Patient care center, there's no start and end.
Correct. I was with a previous company in a corporate role. That was the original plan to go there, but it never happened.
All right. Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
My next question is, when did you receive notice of an alleged abuse that took place?
It was found during our state survey on January 22nd of this year.
Was found during the survey?
Yeah.
By whom?
The state surveyor. There was four residents involved under that tag. One of them we reported, the one that we found was abuse. It was a resident's resident.
And so when did you make that report? When did you first come to know about that, first of all, and then when did you make the report?
As soon as we found out, we made that within a 2-hour limit. We reported to DHS, the police, APS.
When did it actually occur, the allegation of the abuse, whatever it was?
I don't have the date in front of me for that. That was last year. It was 2018. I believe this summer.
Well, let me ask it this way. From the time that this abuse occurred and the time you were notified, how much time was there in between?
It was about an hour. I was actually on site when it happened. So that one we did report. We were just tagged for the abuse because it was resident to resident.
So which one are they saying you didn't report?
There was two. There was verbal abuse we got reported on. We did our investigation. We didn't feel it was verbal abuse at the time. When we talked through with the state surveyors, they did find it to be verbal abuse. The patient was still on site, so they interviewed the resident. And the other one was a fall with major injury. It was just a fall, however, it was found to be neglect.
So let me go back just one moment and add to that. So you were notified by the state during a survey of a verbal abuse. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so you were trying to investigate it because the state was there?
No, it happened about a week or two prior to state coming in. We heard about kind of a disagreement between therapy and a resident. We investigated it. We talked to other residents. We talked to staff members that witnessed it. We didn't find it as verbal abuse. The main complaint was that a therapist swore at the resident. When we talked to the resident, she said they did not swear at her. And we came up with some solutions. We did terminate the employee for bad customer service. However, state, when they talked with her, they concluded it was verbal abuse.
And so if the state came to you and said that we feel that this is verbal abuse, did you immediately notify DHS, APS and the authorities and everybody else?
Yeah, once it was cited as verbal abuse, we did. We sent it into DHS, APS, and also called the police.
Would it be fair to say that your investigation and what the surveyor found out tend to be a difference of opinion?
Yes. You know, looking back at it, I feel it was definitely poor customer service. That's why we terminated the employee. And yes, it was. There was kind of a disagreement between the patient and staff. When we interviewed her and we talked with her and the staff that witnessed it, the other residents that witnessed it, we didn't feel it was verbal abuse. However, they did come in, they interviewed the resident, and she may have shared some things with the surveyors differently than myself.
So when you did, Dustin, when you did your investigation...
Member Siemens, your microphone, please.
Oh. There we go, sorry. So Dustin, when you heard of this verbal abuse that you deemed not to be abuse, did you get written statements from all the employees and the resident or anything, and you showed them to the Department of Health?
Correct. Yeah, we gave her a full investigation, showed her the resident surveys we took, staff, all their written statements.
So you had already heard that there was a bad customer service, alleged customer service issue. You did your own investigation, had the written statements, and you, as the team or yourself, concluded that it wasn't abuse.
Correct.
But the state came in and did their separate investigation and said it was abuse.
Correct.
Okay. Just making sure.
Do you think if you had sent the results of your investigation to the state and said, "We've investigated it, they have a form, and there was no abuse," could you do that? Because if you had, maybe they wouldn't have even got into that when they got there.
I believe we submitted it because we did do a full report on it. We just didn't substantiate it. So we didn't end up calling police. We didn't call APS. We just submitted it to the DHS.
I presume you were getting guidance from your corporate compliance officer all through this?
Correct.
But they didn't cite your corporate compliance officer.
So the rule is, I mean, you reported to DHS the suspect that there was suspected or possible abuse, and your investigation didn't show that. And that's, I believe that's all, is that all you're required to do is report?
Yeah.
This is what we thought, but you didn't find it.
We didn't feel it was abuse, so we didn't call the police. We didn't report it to APS. We kind of just closed the case out.
Upon that being submitted to DHS, did they call APS?
I don't believe so.
So how would you do this differently in the future if something like this comes up?
A big thing is what we did immediately after, just the customer service training. I held a customer service training for about 45 minutes, just dealing with difficult customers, dealing with families, patients. We did a mindfulness training for the staff to recognize, you know, if there's times when we're stressed or we're having a tough day, kind of let that go. Some meditation breathing techniques. We brought in Sylvia Balisteri to come in and talk about what verbal abuse is, give us better definitions of abuse, of neglect, and we videotaped that. We shared that with all the new staff. So possibly more follow-up with the patient after the fact. You know, we did talk to her. We did tell her what we were doing. At the time, she wanted the police to come out, so we had the police come out and talk with her. They didn't say anything was wrong. She was still with us for another couple weeks, was doing therapy, was fine. But we had immediately suspended the therapist, and then we did terminate her.
I'm just curious why you wouldn't have reported it to APS. Even if you feel that it wasn't abuse, and allow a third party to come in to do that investigation. Mm-hmm. That's my question.
Yeah, we just thought it was more of a disagreement between the patient. We thought it was bad customer service from our therapist, just the way she handled herself, but we didn't feel it was anything.
So why not allow APS to unsubstantiate it? And you've got something like a record showing, you know, I went above and beyond, I reported it to all of these agencies. Here's our documentation, DHS. No one can substantiate it. So I guess my question is, why wouldn't you have reported it to APS? Even if you were told of an alleged abuse. It's an alleged abuse. I'm just curious why you wouldn't report that to APS.
Well, did the resident actually say that I was abused?
She didn't say the word abuse. She was just very upset. She said, you know, she had initially said that she was cursed out by the therapist. When we talked to her, when we talked to staff, when we talked to other residents that were nearby, they said they did not hear any swearing.
So if the resident made a statement to you that she was cursed out, mm-hmm. as you just stated, Would you consider that verbal abuse based on what the resident just told you?
Initially, yes. The patient did have a history of some behaviors of instigating altercations, things like that. So we wanted to do our due diligence. We, it was right there in the therapy gym, so there was a lot of witnesses. So going forward, if this would have happened again, we'd obviously report it. We'd go the extra mile, report to DHS, submit all that appropriately.
But you called the police?
We did. We asked her if she wanted.
The resident?
Yep.
And I believe the police would have called an APS if they thought there was something that would happen, that should happen differently.
Yeah, most likely they came and said that, she was fine, she just wanted to talk to them.
Who conducted the interviews?
Multiple staff, my director of nursing, I believe a few managers, just random staff.
Social worker?
Yes, she's spearheaded it.
Executive director?
That, I was not there at the time.
So what was the bad customer service that you let this person go?
Just her demeanor. She comes off loud. Defensive. So it's just not our culture. We're fun, we're positive, we're kind of our residents. So it was a loud conversation back and forth, and she should have just walked away or ended the conversation.
Good. So in all these training and everything, you took everybody through FTAG 600 all the way through 609?
Yes.
And that's going to be your guidelines?
Correct. And every fall, every injury, we're diving deep in our clinical meetings. Anything that has to do with abuse, we're diving in. We changed our abuse policy to include neglect, wasn't in there appropriately. So every all staff, we're always having quizzes, giving out gift cards, asking, who do we report it to, the timeline, all that.
Do you think now the rule of thumb is report everything, and if they don't want to hear it, the state will say, just report it?
Yeah, rather safe.
I think that's the current climate right now. The new 600 tags, it's more about did you report or not versus did you investigate it, which sounds like they did a pretty thorough investigation. I think the site, they cited the abuse tag because they didn't do the self-report.
Yeah.
So I think it's gone back, swung back to that direction where you're basically going to call on everything. Even if it's just a professional standard, even if it doesn't even rise to that level, then we're probably safer calling everything in. My opinion.
That's why I asked the question as to why APS wasn't notified. Even if
I've called APS before and been told
we're not going to
do that, but that's and it's almost a waste of service time. But
yeah, I think that we're there
to protect ourselves. Yeah.
I think the agencies and the facilities are having to adjust with the new requirements. Yeah. I think we're still trying to find some sort of middle ground here. So it's going to be working over.
This hasn't made you consider getting an assisted living license.
What are you doing different about the environmental standards with the hot water? Because there was some law issues,
correct.
And it looked like every day it was always the same, yep. the same. Was it your opinion that they weren't completing them appropriately, or?
Yes, I don't think they knew how to calculate or calibrate the thermometer that they were using. It wasn't the easiest, so we immediately went out and purchased new digital thermometers. The training with staff, we actually trained our nursing staff too. A big part of it was reporting, if you feel any temperature, if you're getting showers, if you're helping the resident, you feel any temperature that's warm, call us immediately. But we took all of our staff in the maintenance department, taught them how to appropriately test the water again.
And is your maintenance staff that does your fire drills as well?
Yes.
So you trained them on that one as well?
We got the correct forms, we've been doing the correct training, but we've had audits in place. We've been taking it to Guadi, so just making sure that we're doing all the correct stuff.
And you have a valve on the boilers that we all think is supposed to regulate the tips, right?
Correct.
Is part of it because the hot water's getting to different parts of the building at a different time? And if it's really close to the boiler, you get one temp, and if it's the other end of the building, you get a different temp?
Yes, that's part of it.
It's a very old building.
Aren't they all?
Yeah.
Except yours, of course.
So you did the, you did your abuse and everything in the cooperative, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
There was a fall?
Yes, yep. The fall was with a long-term care resident. CNA did not use a gate belt, which was part of our policy, and the resident had been changed to a two-person transfer, and he transferred her himself. He lost balance. She had some behavioral issues, so she threw herself another way, and they both fell, and both, you know, the employee and the resident were injured.
And so that was written up as an incident or whatever, but state said it was...
Yeah, so we felt it was a fall, major injury. It was witnessed. There's another staff that came on scene. We immediately sent the patient to the hospital. You know, we consulted with that, and we just felt it was, you know, witness injury. However, it was found to be neglect. We didn't use a gate belt, which was part of our policy, and we didn't use two people for a transfer. So we updated our abuse policy just to kind of define neglect more. What we did was we put gate belts in all the patient's rooms on the back of the door, because the resident went to the bathroom, the employee went to the bathroom, forgot to put his gate belt back on. We put communication whiteboards in all the patient's rooms, and then we have a system for transferring patients. So it's the symbol of a hand, and if it's holding one finger up, it means a one person transfer, two for two people. That way when CNAs walk in a room, they don't have to, you know, go through their iPad to find that out. They can see it very clearly. Both nursing and rehab update that as the patient's transfer status changes.
The gate belts on the back of the
Doors.
Door coming in. Can you put anything on the back of the door if it's a fire door?
You don't perforate the door. Yeah, you can do that. There's ways to do it.
Yeah, this was a code. And state came back out and they did look at our plan. They went through, talked to residents, and they cleared us.
You said the resident had other behavioral issues?
Yeah, that's why we initially changed her from a one person to a two person.
So you had the behavioral issues cited in your care plan, right?
I believe so, yes. Yep.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Because that's where they're going to go, is right to the care plan.
Yep. Yep.
Any other questions from the board?
Not from the room.
I'm open to any motions that the board wishes.
Well, I think they put everything in place that could possibly be done to correct accidents happen.
I would agree. I just, my own opinion, my own concern is, even if a resident is making a statement of abuse and saying, I was abused, I feel abused, that's the resident's mentation at that moment. And I did. For me, it would be an immediate call just to APS. Let them either substantiate or unsubstantiate. The police were notified. Are they going to notify APS? Who's responsible to notify APS? It'd be the licensee or the license holder. My only concern is that APS had not been called.
Actually, the first call there is to DHS.
Yeah. Well, DHS, but still notify APS. I mean, if the resident makes that.
Once you notify DHS, you have to notify APS.
So, again, then why wasn't APS notified? That's my only concern. And I'm not a person
if you had police in doing an investigation. I'm like you, 50% of the time APS is going to tell you they're not coming out anyway.
Right.
I'd rather depend on a police officer to come out and have a discussion.
So. They'll be there at that date. APS won't be there for...
Do whatever they can fit it in.
5 to 7 days.
If you're lucky.
Well, the regulations recently changed and skilled in abuse reporting. So that's what Ken was referring to, mm-hmm. basically. So it's a new ball game and abuse reporting.
And does it include notifying every agency?
The notifications are, the requirements are the same. You know, just the, I think that the service parameters have changed and they are scrutinizing that much more. You know, you have a case where it in your own opinion, you know, he's investigated and determined it was just a professional conduct thing, like the employee was being a little bit too loud or too rough. Doesn't necessarily mean that it rose to the level of abuse, which they investigated, but in the current climate, the surveyors are saying you have to call all that stuff in.
Yeah.
Now, every years ago, we were in this same boat, and Judy Segrillo finally said, I don't want you calling all this stuff in, so there has to have to come to some point of balance.
Right.
I would say absolutely no reason for any disciplinary action in this case, but formally, and having been through it myself, to say, you know, the administrator failed to make proper notifications involving the self-report. You know, I'd be willing to make that motion, which is a non-disciplinary type of an action. You know, does it rise to that level?
I just have the time frame, the 2 hour thing that changed.
That's pretty well, and, you know, I mean, the way that the rule is written, is if it's serious bodily injury, but, you know, in my last survey, it's basically it's anything. It's basically it's all under the 2 hour rule. Right? They're not distinguishing.
Yeah. They can change it. Let me tell you, the surveyor that you're building is a moving target.
In writing, they are not adhering to it. They basically want everything in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So you're doing yourself with your duties.
Which they did. They did within 2 hours to DHS.
Just a missing piece is that, you know, you have to notify the enforcement, the police manager, an APS, and any local law enforcement that would regulate this type of activity. So basically, you just got to blast it out and notify everybody.
Okay. Let me simplify this. Do you believe we will never see you in front of this board again on a notification issue?
Only if I'm volunteering.
Okay. Don't do that.
You have to be screened,
no,
you have to be screened by us.
Not for notification, no.
So then you would notify everyone for any incident, even if a resident may have some behaviors, you're going to notify everybody?
Correct. I think that they made a very significant and appropriate attempt at actions at what they did.
Yeah.
A piece of a working system was missing. So there's a mistake in one part. But they've also had, you know, mandatory in-service facility at Balistrieri, who's an expert in this. And I think that moving forward, I don't think we're going to see this sort of action.
Have you updated your policy?
We did. We did that immediately.
Saying you're notifying every agency?
Correct.
Okay.
And with the case where the resident fell, when we did submit that to APS, they did not substantiate it as abuse.
I prepare to make a motion.
Let's do it.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 19-93 against Administrator Dustin Schaefer.
I'll second. All in favor of the motion indicate
and
by saying.
Dismiss? Is that what it is?
And dismiss, yes.
All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you for being here today. Next up, case number 19-85 involving manager Victoria Green. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. I'm sure you're tired of seeing me here.
Oh, this is nothing. Phil, if you could outline the case for us.
This is complaint 19-85, licensee is Victoria Green, who is present here today. And on March 27, 2018, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Tanque Verde Assisted Living Home located in Tucson. The compliance inspection identified 9 deficiencies in 5 different areas. 3 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Green was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. And on approximately May 28th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,330 for 3 substantiated repeat violations. And Ms. Green's here today to discuss the matter with the board, and the survey was conducted on March 27, 2019, not 18.
Thank you, Phil. Ms. Green, I got a few questions for you. One, why the repeat deficiencies?
Well, it was my mind neck probably, and I trusted my employees to know what they're doing on the medication, and the last time that I had they conducted the survey, I just had my knee surgery, and I wasn't able to, you know, to check everything, you know, for a month or something. And PHS came all of a sudden after my surgery, and I knew that I'm going to review that because I don't have any more deficiencies.
Okay, you just testified that you had knee surgery and that you were out for a month or so. Who is your manager backup as a licensed or a certified manager? If you were out
for a month. I am a manager.
Right, but if you were out for a month and where it's not there, who was your license?
Oh, I live in the home.
You live there?
Yes.
Okay. So were you there for the survey?
Yes, I was there.
The reason I ask is I noticed that the survey is not signed by you, and I noticed your plan of correction. Did you write that?
Yes, sir.
You did?
I have submitted it.
Right.
And DHS sent me a letter that they accept my plan of correction.
I'm just curious why you didn't sign the plan of correction.
Oh, I signed it back. They sent it back to me, and I sent it. I don't know what went on.
Were you present for the survey?
Yes, I was. Seth was there.
How many residents are in the building?
At the time, mm-hmm. There were six.
How much are you licensed for?
Eight.
And how many hours do you spend there actually working with the residents or the staff?
I live there and I do the night shift, you know.
Every day, 8 hours?
I live there, so I'm there every time.
I'm puzzled. I'm going to go back. So you say you wrote the plan of correction, right?
Yes, sir.
And you signed it in that spot where you're supposed to sign the plan of correction before you sent it in.
I don't know what, I didn't.
Well, does it say she didn't?
There, I don't see a signature on any part of the plan of correction. I don't see a signature on the survey either. And usually when they come in, you have to sign that you were there. They're issuing you and saying,
oh, yeah.
Here's your
notice. I did sign that. It's not a piece of paper that they gave me. I did sign that.
They would have accepted it, though, if it wasn't.
Yeah, that's a puzzle. They probably should. Just so you know, DHS shouldn't have accepted this plan of correction because you haven't signed it. Until it's signed, there's no plan of correction.
Yeah,
but they accepted it.
They did.
Because they only read the fine print they want to, I guess.
Yes.
But if you ever have to do one of these again, sign it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions from the board?
What are you doing now to make sure that you have your TB done on time?
Well, I make sure that before hiring my employee, they have the TB. And then we do check up every year. We have a roster. Like we put when the employee will have a TB test. We have the dates. And all their
others, like CPR and
everything. Yeah.
You have that all on the
table? We have a roster, yes.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No.
Any motions? Okay, you're not prepared to make a motion. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.0703. ARS 44610 AACR 433407 AMD1 for unprofessional conduct. A complaint number 19-85 involving manager Victoria Green, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate to stay the suspension as long as the terms of consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250, 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas: medication management, personnel requirements, and what's the other?
Storage.
And environmental. environmental standards, any cost of the probationer and those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Charles,
if I can, if I could, she's already taken CEUs for medication personnel requirements as a result of the consent agreement that the board offered her in May of this year for a DHS survey that was done in August of last year.
Okay.
Same facility.
Same facility?
So since that point in time, she's taken medication and what?
Personnel.
Medication personnel requirements.
Survey was March 27, 2019. So she took it subsequent to that. Then we wanted to modify it. Second on the motion to accept continuing education for medication and personnel requirements as provided.
That was on a prior consent agreement.
It was on a prior consent agreement, and
now we're looking at another
one. Learned from it.
Well, she took it after the second this inspection.
Mm-hmm. She's taking it since that.
Right. She had a consent agreement on the previous survey, had a second survey, repeat deficiencies, and then she takes the courses.
Okay. So then let's modify it back instead of the medication management and personnel requirements, environmental standards, 3 hours. You good with that?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll amend it to only 3 hours in environmental standards. Okay. Everything else remains the same.
Did you have any costs?
I did.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Harry.
So again, it's Charles and Ken. Mm-hmm. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Don't come back.
I hope so.
Only for CEUs.
Only for CEUs.
All right. Next on the agenda, case number 19-39, Mariana Uriu. Thank you. Okay, Philip, you can outline this case for us, please.
Okay, this complaint 19-39, the licensee is Mariana Guru, who's present here today. On August 9th, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Desert Willow Assisted Living in Cave Creek. Compliance inspection identified 6 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Mariana was noticed of a complaint, and she did provide a written response. Approximately December 3rd, 2018, DHS took enforcement action. They imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations, and she's here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Great. Thank you. My first question for you, how many residents were left alone without a true certified caregiver being present on the property?
10.
There were 10 residents at the time, but we didn't consider that the caregivers didn't have a training. When we hired them, they provide us with every requirement for hiring. It's in our policy and procedure. I made a copy, and it says,
What's the state requirement?
That they need to be... That they need to be to understand English and speak English, that they have to have the hours, they have to be 16 years of age or older, 18, sorry.
But most importantly, they have to attend a board approved or state approved program, right?
Yes.
So, how is it that the inspector was able to validate that they had not? And you couldn't?
When we hired them, they brought us a certification, continuing education, proof of fingerprint. Some of them, they did have a fingerprint. One of them had just the application for the fingerprint. Mm-hmm. They had CPR, they had CPR first aid. So at that time, because now going through all of this, I'm learning that a lot of the caregivers, they have a certificate. I was not aware that they can do that. Especially that this one they worked before, and I was checking their...
But if you have a caregiver who says, I went to school, here's my certification, but a state surveyor can prove that they weren't even in the country during that time, I guess my question is, what background are you doing with these people? Or are you just accepting whatever document that they give you?
I do the interview, and then the owner, I know her for 9 years. We work together as a caregiver in a facility. I know how she works, and she's there every day, from morning to night. And we watch them work, we watch them interact with the residents. The residents are happy.
It doesn't matter, they don't certify.
This question is not all that. He wants to know one thing. How did a caregiver who didn't have a legitimate certificate slip past you? That's the question.
I was not aware that they can do that. They showed me the certification and the continuation.
They showed you a caregiver certificate? They actually had one?
Yes. I brought all the employee files. You're welcome to go through them. Everything is here. I was told that...
Did you verify employment prior to them giving care?
One of them was employed with this facility since 2014. I was not even the manager at that time. In 2014, I started 2017. So when I started, she has been there for 3 years already.
Sure.
And I just did I did go through the file, and nothing was suspicious to me. She had everything in the file every year, continuing education. So that's one of them from 2014. The other ones, one of them worked for a facility, but not for very many months before, and they did give us the references, and I did check the references for one. And the other one, she said that she got a certification a while back, and then she was pregnant, she had a baby, she didn't go to work, and then now she's finally ready to go to work, and she said she is willing to go for a continuing education, and then to do the training with us so she can learn what she has to do for the residents in our facility.
What are you doing differently to verify that these certifications are real?
Well, I had an inspection with one of the surveyors a couple of weeks ago, and she's telling me that I have to call the school to verify that the certification are real. For these ones, I have, we called them. Actually, the surveyor at the time of the inspection, she called the one of the instructor, and the instructor told her that she did give the certification to that one person. For another one, I believe they said that it's not real because the lady is not in business anymore. I got the phone number from the caregiver. I called this lady that was the instructor, and she wrote a letter, and I have the letter on file saying that she doesn't do the certification anymore as of 2013, but she was in business at that time when she gave the certification to the caregiver. Some of the instructors, they are saying that they no longer have the records past 3 years, so they are not able to tell me yes or no. But they said that they did get a continuing education with them, that's like earlier ones. And another thing that I was told, that I have to send a certification to NCIA board, so maybe somebody from here is able to check the certification if they are real or not real.
Can we do that now?
We get them all the time.
So I'm learning now. Pitch.
Oh, yeah, a situation where the school is closed.
Right.
Yeah.
We were able to determine whether that program was approved or not at the time that's on the certificate. We can't verify that that person took the training.
Did they even win
the list?
Right.
Oh, correct.
We don't keep a registry of these individuals.
No.
Back then.
But then, right. But then we always advise them that best practices to do a fingerprint clearance card background, you know, or work history or residence history back to the time that certificate was issued.
Right. And again, go back to this one, the gentleman wasn't even in the country at that time.
Correct.
So
we're finding a lot of those. A lot of people are finding
my other issue is the fingerprint clearance card had been issued, it lapsed, it was expired. What happened there?
Yeah.
I didn't have anybody with the expired fingerprint.
I don't think it was a division.
A review of E1's fingerprint status from the Arizona Department of Public Safety A DPS website showed E1 employee with a fingerprint clearance on August 3, 2017, showed no prior history of fingerprint clearance cards issued. So he did have a fingerprint card when he was working?
Yes, when they applied with us. They did have a fingerprint with when they applied for a job with us. One of the lady told me, one of the caregivers told me that she worked, and I'm not sure if I have said that she worked as a private caregiver for a gentleman. So I asked her to get like references, like a letter from that person that she was a private caregiver for one person. And they said that you didn't have to have a fingerprint, just working private caregiver for one patient.
Do you require a fingerprint card for
your
business?
Yes, and I have on file. So they have the file. That's what I'm saying. I respected the employment requirements. They gave me the all the requirements that I was asking: TB test, fingerprint, continuing education, everything. So,
and if they didn't have a fingerprint card when they came to you,
we had 20 days to do it. That's what my policy and procedure says. But every single one of the employees, when we hired them, they had a fingerprint card.
What are you
going to say? Well, I was going to say, as far as the fingerprint clearance card and reviewing that to match it with the certificate, possibly, if you put in the fingerprint clearance card number at DPS website, it'll show you all the fingerprint clearance cards that have been issued or expired for that person.
Right.
If they didn't have one prior to 2017,
they can't be a certified caregiver.
And the certificate was issued, I don't know what this, but let's say 2012 or 2011.
Right.
And they didn't get a card until 17.
While they're in school, right?
And
no, that's a newer requirement to have a fingerprint card. That started like 2017, I believe. Before, you didn't have the requirement to go to school. It was not to have a fingerprint clearance card.
No, you had to have a fingerprint. We've always had to have a fingerprint clearance card.
Well, at the time of the employment, right?
Well, yeah, you can still roll fingerprints. You still have that 20 days to roll fingerprints upon hire if they have everything else. And then you like to look at, you know, they roll the fingerprints and they send it in. If they're denied, they have to leave the floor. But if they, you have that 20 days to send it in. So when this was, I see you're up in Peoria. Had you seen anybody presenting fraudulent caregiver certificates? Did you know that was happening?
No, because back there I had no idea that anybody can do that. And when we do the interview and they present all the requirements, I mean, I'm asking them, like I'm asking her, how come you don't have a fingerprint card? But if she tells me I was pregnant, I didn't go to work, I was waiting for the baby to grow older, and now I'm ready to go to work, I applied for a fingerprint, and here I have continued education.
Did she show you documentation that she had brought?
She brought me the fingerprint card.
The yellow copy? She brought you the yellow copy?
One of them that was hired in 2014 has a fingerprint clearance card in 2014. One of them was employed in November, and she got a fingerprint card in like July or something. And then the third one, she was hired in 2017, July 21st, and when she came for the interview 2 days before, she didn't have a fingerprint card. So we told her to come back when she has an application with a fingerprint card. She brought out the application, and then 2 weeks later, we were able to go online, and the card was valid.
When you went online and that card was valid, was there any cards that employee had prior to the one of her getting to come work for you?
No.
Then the certification wouldn't have been valid.
What she's saying is that the person told her that she got a caregiver certificate, subsequently got pregnant, and chose to stay home with her child, and didn't work in caregiving in a licensed facility,
but
work privately.
You can't go and get a caregiver certificate without a valid fingerprint.
Back then you could.
I had a certification until 2010.
2010. It was prior to 2012.
The school never asked me to have a fingerprint card. I got a fingerprint card with my fourth employer, because when you apply for a fingerprint card, you have to put a place where you're working, and you have to pay with the business.
What I'm trying to get to, aside from all this, did this manager really do something that was unprofessional conduct? I mean, it sounds like to me she really is going through a lot of hoops. I mean, I can get tangled up and confused on the wind and whatever. Did she really do something we need to penalize for?
No, you're right. I personally, I don't believe she did. And this is an ongoing issue that we're all dealing with. We don't have a clear way to vet a caregiver certificate.
She's doing a lot of stuff to try to hire the right people.
Now she knows that she can call into the board and ask if the school is valid. But if it's before 2013, all you're going to know is, was the school valid? Not necessarily, was that individual person granted a certificate?
I mean, if she brought in a copy of her application, you can enter it into the DPS system for the application number, and I don't believe it's going to show previous.
It does.
Car, does it?
It does.
You don't want to get it show if you had
it does.
Cars at all issued.
And so the question is, was her assumption plausible that this person got a caregiver certificate in 2012 or prior to 2013, took a leave of pregnancy, did some private duty caregiving, got references, and then decided she wanted to come back to this industry and get a fingerprint card? Is that plausible? To me, it is.
Would you be happy if we just wrote a letter of concern and put this thing away?
I think she has her letter of concern. I think she knows exactly what to do now and is probably very worried about it.
I'm trying to figure out what the board will do.
And my concern is that are we legally in a position to penalize and cite somebody for something that there's not a clear way to vet?
My only issue is if a surveyor comes into your building and on an interview with that employee finds out that employee was not even in the country at the time that certification was issued, how are you vetting that employee? And that employee is left alone, uncertified, with your residence, and you haven't even checked to see what they can do.
So this
well, they're still going through orientation before they're ever allowed on the floor at home.
This employee told the surveyor they weren't in the country, but she didn't tell you that?
Well, you know, I'm not asking them for the passport or when they came in the country. That's not one of our requirements. And I'm not even sure what they said. I wasn't there at the time of the inspection.
Don't feel bad. Managers never said to be in the building when they get surveyed for whatever
reason. Well, I manage this facility, so I work for this facility, I only work over the weekends. And then for the other one, for Monday to Friday, is a part-time. So I put on the surveyor actually called me, and she asked me, are you the manager? And I said, yes, I'm the manager. And then, as I said, she called the school, and the lady said that she did give the certification for one of the caregivers. And if I would check, I would have to document, but I would do the same thing. So I would call the school, I would send a picture of the caregiver certification. So it seems like nobody can prove that those certifications are fake. And honestly, I'm here to learn. If the surveyor did that good of a job to prove that,
I don't think the surveyor proved anything personally.
Al, where do you think we should go with this?
I'm going to give you an example.
Just your thoughts.
Well, it's really up to the board how they're interpreting or deciding on the testimony.
So what are you doing now to ensure specifically that anybody that you hire is a truly certified caregiver?
Because
we all know that these fake certificates are out there.
Summarize what you're doing now. Okay, don't go back to anything in the past. I mean, what you're doing now, when you hire somebody, to ensure that they have a verifiable certificate.
So it doesn't happen again, right?
Right,
well,
right.
I checked the papers. I'm going to send emails to the board to check for the certification. I'm going to call the school if they're able to provide me. They did the certification or whatever they did for those people. If I go on a website for the fingerprint and it shows no prior history, but this, I'm eventually not going to hire them because I'm gonna get in trouble again, no?
So I like that. I would also look at their employment. So I'll make a motion. I'll move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 19-39 against manager, if you'll say your name, please.
Maria Languro.
Thank you.
Second.
All right, Charles Fred. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Or, I'm sorry, all opposed, same sign. Perfect, motion carries. No, I felt an aye over here. I felt the ayes on me.
All right, you're gonna get a letter of concern.
I know, I know.
Failure of duty.
He's already made a motion.
I'll second.
Yeah. Okay, next up, case number 19-86, involving manager Cody Fuller.
Cody left a voicemail. She was in the hospital last night, so. She says she could send the medical records if I need them, but I believe her.
All right, can we move that for next month?
Sure.
Perfect. We're still with Smith here.
Eric is here. Eric's here?
Yep.
All right, case number 19-66, involving Erica Benagracia.
Morning, Senator. Good morning. What the time?
Hey, Phil.
Okay, this complaint, 19-66, licensee is Eric Divagracia, who's present here today. And on June 22nd, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at the Vine Race Assisted Living Home located in Tempe. The compliance inspection identified 15 deficiencies in nine different areas, and four of those deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. On June 22, 2018, DHS also conducted a complaint investigation at the facility where they identified two repeat deficiencies in the area of service plans. Mr. Divagracia was noticed at the complaint, did provide a response stating he is no longer managing that facility. On approximately February 5th, 2019, DHS took enforcement action when they issued a notice of intent to revoke the facility license. Mr. Dimon Garcia is here today to talk to the board about the compliance inspection and the complaints.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for being here. How big of a facility? How many residents were there?
That is license for 9, and I think we have like 7 during the inspection.
Were you there for the inspection?
I was not. I can't remember if I was there. That was last year.
You can't remember being at the inspection?
Because we have a lot of, hold on. I think I was there. I was there, I think. During the inspection, they found out some of the service plans were not signed by the power of attorney, something like that. And because the power of attorney is out of state, it's not because there's no service plan, but the service plan is there, it's being prepared. It's only thing that signature needs to be signed by the power of attorney. That's one of the cases there.
How often were you at the facility?
3 to 4 hours in a day.
Okay. How many communities do you oversee? Because on your license here, mm-hmm. it's listing like 5 or something.
We have 4 group homes before, and now we downgraded to 2 group homes right now. And currently, I'm not the facility manager. So these facilities, I'm not holding any position as facility manager right now.
So you say we own?
I own the other one, and my wife owns the other one. But she manages the 2 group homes right now. Because of the situation.
Did you own this group home?
What's that, sir?
Did you own this group home?
Yes, that's
so
one of the group homes. That one in Tempe, I'm not the owner of that group home.
Who is?
My wife is the owner of that group home. But I'm the facility manager of that group home before.
Can you explain about the food?
That's the funny thing, because I started my caregivers to be diligent, to be more, to be careful of their food, because that's their food. It's not the food of the resident. They have their own food. So I think they forgot something down the very lower level of the refrigerator. They did not check on it. Then when the inspector came, it's not really open, but it's like a vegetable that a little bit of, you know, somehow it needs to be removed. So that's the thing that had happened.
So ultimately, the facility's license was going to get revoked by DHS. Is that correct?
What's the name?
DHS was going to shut you down. They would pull your license. Is that correct, Phil? Did you just testify to that?
That's what the enforcement action said.
There was some issues like...
Did you go to the enforcement hearing?
Yes, we did. I even have the basic trainings under them, like recently, like I went there like 5 times. They give me a training, like the very basic training, which is starting on how to have a group home. The basic of the title of this training was the basics of the residential licensing processes. And there's a lot of these things. It's like a punishment to me to have a training like going back to basics.
I would dare say it's a punishment to the residents if they had to live like this and they didn't have a service plan. There's deplorable food in the kitchen. And these findings were all repeat deficiencies. These were not just, oops, this happened, I wasn't there. You guys are the owners and the managers of this property where these 9 residents were. That's what I find.
Excuse me, sir. The service plan, it's not because there's no, I mean, the service plan was there.
What does the regulation say? Who has to sign the service plan? For it to be implemented fully, who has to sign it?
The manager, the power of attorney, and then the whoever, the nurse or the doctor or any general practitioner.
So did it have all 3 of those items on there?
There was a missing of the signature of the power of attorney.
So the answer would be no. It didn't have all 3. So
yes,
it was not,
that's correct.
It was not an enforceable service plan at that time. And therefore the service plans were out of date, which was a repeat deficiency.
That's correct.
Okay.
But
what do you do now when somebody is out of town when a service plan needs to be signed?
We will see to it that right now I'm not in the position to...
Well, what would you do now if you were a manager? If you were hanging your certificate someplace?
I didn't do anything to that position right now. I am a caregiver playing the caregiver right now.
If you were functioning as a manager right now, and the power of attorney for one of your residents was out of town or out of state, and you needed to get it signed, the service plan signed, what would you do?
If that happens, we should situate that it's going to be like 3 weeks before the expiration. Probably we should be delaying the service plan. And not 3 days before or 1 week before. We should have an ample time to have that completed. Prior, they will go, something like that. I also learned from this lesson that it's not, we're doing this since, I'm doing this since 2004. And it's ridiculous to me because this, I got this like this. However, I learned from these mistakes. Right now, what I go to the current manager is, they should have a roster of the expiration date of the service plan, the expiration date of all the TPS or J6-ray, to have this, like, put this in the wall somehow in the kitchen so that they can glance a little bit from time to time. So it's not gonna be like this again. We can do this, and then I think this is gonna be not happening again. But actually, I have a survey last May, this May, and I do not have like this. So it's there's improvement. There was deficiency, but it's not that big. It's minor.
There weren't any repeat deficiencies?
No, not yet. So this time that I had the deficiency, it has not been repeated again. It means it works the proper way that I did, the correction that I did, it was working. That's why, but right now, currently, I'm not in the position as facility manager because I think I should stand by for a while, you know, mentoring some, based on my mistakes, based on my losses.
Did you do the renewal? Are you renewed right
yeah,
now?
We have renewed and we had the state inspection last May 2019 and everything was okay.
No, I mean, did you renew your manager?
Yes, ma'am.
In June?
Yeah, I have.
I'm prepared to make a motion.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R4 33407A and B1 for professional conduct, and complaint number 19-66 involving manager Eric Divinandrasia and the board offered a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to a formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, the state of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs, the amount of $250. Completion of a 40-hour manager training program with executive directors, pre-approval required, and documented completion. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Ken, if I could interject a little here.
Yeah.
I think you've covered it. Just want the board to know that Mr. DiBiglarcia did have a prior consent agreement, 18-168, as a result of a January 9, 2018 DHS complaint investigation at the same facility. He identified 18 deficiencies in 7 areas. The board offered him a consent agreement at the August 13, 2018 meeting, which required him to take 3-hour CEUs and regular keeping service plans. He did complete the terms of that consent agreement, but I believe this 40-hour training course will take care of what needs to be done going forward.
Okay, there's a motion made by Ken, seconded by myself. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anton Constantine. Constantine Anton. All right. Silvio Sustancio. Case number 19-95. Thank you for being here. Bill, whenever you're ready.
This is not Mr. Anton?
No, this is
Okay.
Number 19-95.
All right. Okay, complaint 19-95. The licensee is Suvu Spansu, who's present here today. On April 15, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Legends Senior Living located in Glendale. Compliance inspection identified 9 deficiencies in 5 different areas with 1 repeat deficiency. Mr. Stasio was noticed of the complaint and did provide a written response. And on approximately June 6, 2019, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 3 substantiated violations. One of the violations was a repeat. Mr. Stasio is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
Thank you. Mr. Stasio, am I saying that right?
Stasio, yes.
Stasio, okay. How big is this facility?
5 residents.
5 residents. Ken, what was your census at the time of the survey? Five?
Four.
Four? And how much time do you spend there?
Pretty much every other day, my in-laws' house.
So how many hours a week would you estimate that you're present?
Around eight, sometimes 8 days.
8 to 10?
Yes.
And who does the hiring at the facility?
I do, or my wife sometimes.
Okay, so what happened with the fingerprint clearance card issue?
Well, at the time, she wasn't actually working as a caregiver. She was waiting for the, she had the paper, but the door expired, some of it, so she was waiting for the new ones.
Okay, what was she doing in the facility?
Pretty much housekeeping, nothing with the residents.
She was not providing any direct care at all?
No, my mom, she was there, my mother-in-law, she's the caregiver, and my mother-in-law.
And the surveyor, did the surveyor see any direct care being provided?
No.
So you removed her from your schedule as a caregiver and made her a housekeeper?
She wasn't on the schedule, she was there like the second day or so.
And even with that, wouldn't she have known that she had to tell somebody if a resident walks off? Because it says,
right.
She didn't notify anyone. To a resident's egress, which means leaving. So she just watched this and resident leave, and that was okay?
And it was, I believe, a neighbor that notified the authorities that one of your residents was at their home?
That wasn't a complaint.
It seems to me you don't have a clue about what's going on in your building or what even went on during the survey.
I just don't know anything about that, about the resident walking to the neighbor's
door. Were you there for the inspection?
At the time of the inspection?
Uh-huh.
Can you repeat the question?
Were you there for the inspection?
No, I wasn't.
Were you in California or someplace working in another job?
No, I wasn't in California. I was actually in Arizona.
Okay.
I wasn't president of the facility, I was in state. I was in another town.
Okay. What about your medications? That was part of the inspection.
Yes, the insulin pen, it wasn't properly put in the box in the fridge. It was in the fridge, but not in the box because they just administered the shot to the patient who had to go to a doctor appointment that morning, and somehow it wasn't put back in the box, so I guess the box was the old one they had to open, so we bought, we purchased a new one with the automatic keypad that you can access faster.
And what are you doing differently with regards to the patient's medical record to make sure that all of the signatures are there?
I'm going to pay more attention to the paperwork. For one of them, somehow it wasn't signed by a manager or designated manager and by the family member.
I think maybe you should spend a little bit more time in the building, in the home.
Maybe with the paperwork.
Any other questions from the board?
Do you hang your certificate somewhere else? Just at this one house?
Just this house, just this, yes. Yes, I'm here at this, just like not even all a year. This month.
I'm prepared to make a motion. Based upon the information contained in the investigator report, the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 19-95 involving manager Silvio Spencio, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days with the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, the state of the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250, 3 hours continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas: medication management and personnel requirements. Any cost are those of the certificate holder.
I'm going to add, is there enough that you would want to add service plans?
Service plans. I can amend that motion to add service plans, 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion.
Sure.
I'll second the amendment.
Okay.
Amended motion.
Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Simmons?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, next up is case number 19-97 involving manager Helda Obregon. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you.
Phil, if you could outline the case, please.
19-97, licensee is Helda Obregon, who's present here today, and on March 26, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Casa Teresita 5, located in Tucson. Compliance inspection identified 6 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Ms. Obregon was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. On approximately June 13, 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations. And Ms. Obregon is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with you.
Okay, thank you, Phil.
Remember what fingerprint is.
Yeah, and so since we're talking about fingerprint cards, did you already renew yours?
Yes.
Okay. And the board has a copy?
I just received that last week.
Okay. I just noticed that.
Yes, expired.
It's showing that it's almost done. Okay. Didn't want you here because you didn't renew. So talk to us about who does the hiring at your location?
The hiring is supposed to go through me.
Okay.
And obviously, the licensee made some decisions that he did not let me aware of what was going on.
Okay.
This is a family business. We own 3 homes. So we have caregivers within the family. So this shouldn't happen because it was just a phone call away.
Okay. How often are you at the facility?
I spend at least 4 hours a week.
4 hours every week?
Yes.
Okay. So who did the hiring? You say it's your family that owns the business.
Yes.
You got 3 care homes. Who did the hiring that got you here today? And how come they're not?
The licensee did that.
That's one of your family members?
Yes.
So what have you done to rectify the situation?
I place policies and procedures that nobody's hiring anybody unless it goes through me first.
Are you the only manager?
I manage the home and I own my own home. That is why I'm resigning out of Casa Teresita 5 because I want to fully be involved in my own home. Because obviously the licensee, when something is happening, because that day the caregiver who was assigned had an emergency and she had to leave. But the caregiver that I left at the time, which was on the schedule, left without me notifying me and letting me know what was going on at the time.
Okay. So what do you have in place to ensure that you have everything that you need prior to letting someone take care of your residence?
I have a list of caregivers in place with their files. So when it's an emergency, there we have that list in the home for any emergencies.
with a proper paperwork, with a training and everything can, and it needs to be done to be in compliance.
How long have you been the main lecturer there, and if you're already?
Since 2008.
Any prior incidents? I'm just curious. I have to base the decision off of this case, but I'm just curious, any prior incidents at this facility?
There was one before, I don't recall the exact time. The licensee, I hired a caregiver, she had all the documentation, all the proper paperwork, but she did not speak English, but the licensee was supposed to be there at the facility and he wasn't there. That was back in 2000.
So are you removing your certification from this home?
Yes.
Based on all of these issues with this licensee?
Did you say you hired a person who couldn't speak English?
The licensee.
The licensee was supposed to be there at the time. That was six years ago.
Who hired the person that couldn't speak English?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Why would you?
Because somebody was supposed to be there at that time.
No. Let me ask the question. Why would you hire somebody that can't speak English?
Because at that time, it was okay to have a caregiver.
Yeah, I know it was okay.
Speak English.
But do you have residents? Did they speak English?
Yes.
So she couldn't talk to them?
No.
So she had to run and find somebody who could speak English?
The licensee was supposed to be there with a caregiver.
No. The licensee had to come and interpret every time this person wanted to talk to him, right?
Yeah, because he lives there.
That's crazy. You can't have somebody taking care of residents that doesn't understand the language when the resident is trying to tell them what's wrong.
It was okay with the state at the time when that happened. That was years ago.
Yeah, I know. It's okay with the state. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
So how are you going to prevent a fingerprint card if it expires besides your list?
Well, on my policies and procedures, every time I hire somebody, I go through all the paperwork. I make the proper phone calls before I hire somebody. The person who was in charge the day that he was left with the residence was the licensee. He made that decision of staying for those time, for that period of time until the caregiver was coming back. So I always go through the proper paperwork and the phone calls that I supposed to.
Do you know how to verify somebody has a good fingerprint card?
Yes, we make a phone call and before we even hire somebody. I have a home since 2005 and I haven't had deficiencies in all those years. It's been deficiency free.
All right, I've prepared to make a motion. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 19-97 against manager Helga Overgaard and issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to maintain evidence of a valid fingerprint clearance card for one employee.
I'll second.
Yeah. I'm seconding his second.
Oh.
You like it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So much.
Yeah, just very much.
Okay, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Can you repeat it just so I have to get a
card? The manager failed to maintain evidence of a valid fingerprint clearance card for one employee.
I missed one word.
We've already voted on it.
Yeah.
So we have to do it again, right?
No.
Okay, good.
I just wanted to clarify it in a minute.
I just.
Better concern for Al, too.
It's always concerning.
Everybody that came to be mentioned.
And me.
What did I do?
Okay, you're out.
Thanks.
Yeah,
who's the motion in second? Ken and Charles?
Yep. Okay. Next up, complaint number 19-99, Ion Ursary.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Can you pronounce your name?
Iwan Yusachi.
Yusachi.
Iwan Yusachi. Iwan Yusachi. Gotcha.
Let's go.
Okay, this is complaint 19-99. Licensee is Iwan Yusachi, who's present here today. And on April 15, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Surprise Farms Assisted Living LLC located in Surprise. Complaint investigation identified three deficiencies in two different areas. Mr. Yusachi was noticed of the complaint and did provide a written response. It's noted that the response seems to be similar to ones that we had gotten in the past, where it looks like it's been provided by a company, a template of some sort. A lot of the same verbiage I've been seeing in other responses. Mm-hmm. On June 17th, 2019, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for two substantiated violations. And Mr. Yusachi is here today to discuss the complaint investigation with the board.
Okay. Mr. Yusachi, I read your response. It looks like there was some other items going on. But what was your elopement policy that you had in place at the time that the resident left? Did you have an elopement policy?
Yes. The resident was confused. A lot of residents confused. And we have an alarm at the door. We have all the things in place.
Was the alarm working at the time?
Yes.
Okay. So what happened, if the alarm was working and the caregiver didn't respond?
Okay. On that day, we hired a caregiver. And the caregiver, I left the facility around 6 o'clock. I'm there every day. I left the facility around 6 o'clock. About 6:45 or so, my wife, which she was a manager at Disney.
I read that. You don't have to get into that. We read that.
Okay.
You don't have to get into that on open mics.
Okay.
So she left for medical reasons.
Okay. The caregiver on what she stated that she was in the bathroom, she did not hear the bell.
Okay. Is this the same caregiver that didn't have a personnel file?
That's correct.
So why did she have a personnel file? Okay.
When we brought this individual for an interview, and we thought they're qualified and said that she has all the paperwork, and we decided to bring it into hands-on training. And at the time that she arrived, when we asked for the paperwork, she said that she forgot to bring it in. And I mentioned that, make sure you bring it in tomorrow.
Had you already seen her certification?
No, I have not.
Card?
No, I have not.
So you couldn't validate anything?
I could not, yes.
Okay. Was she ever left alone with a resident?
No, until the 15, 20 minutes prior to that, when my wife had an emergency, if you guys said that, and she had to leave. I trusted my wife with her judgment at that time. This was terrible. I feel bad, and I hope this is the last time I see you guys with this kind of situation.
So what are you doing differently to make sure that you have all these documents?
I have to take some of them. Well, I will not trust anybody, first of all. It will not be there until I have all the paperwork. It will not stop working until I have everything in place. And I will do training and stuff like that.
Where were you again during this time for 15 minutes?
I left the facility around 6 o'clock. I had a meeting.
Oh, this was 6:45.
I went to the hospital for a new potential resident.
Got it.
Exactly.
Okay. Resident safe?
Yes. They came on harm and everything like that.
Okay, I'll make a motion. Please, sir. I move the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dispense complaint number 19-99 against manager Yusachi.
Iwan.
You want your shirt.
So don't be laughing.
No.
Okay. I will second.
Thank you.
All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you for being here, sir.
Who is it?
You have a rampage today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Want to break?
We're almost done.
Okay. I asked you.
I'm sorry. All right, next up is 19-101, Lita Cubillos.
I'm just gonna choose one way so you can get present next time.
I like to be efficacious with the state's time.
You like to be what?
Efficacious with the state's time.
And I just spell it for some.
Okay.
Have you all day.
Yeah, the medications.
The times were good.
All right. Phil, if you could outline this case, please.
Case complaint, 19-101, licensee is Lita Cubillos, who's present here today. And on January 31st, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Sunrise Care Homes located in Paradise Valley. Compliance inspection identifies 7 deficiencies in 4 different areas. Ms. Cubillos was notified of the complaint, and on approximately June 17, 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 2 substantiated violations. And Ms. Cubillos is here today to discuss the compliance inspection report.
Thank you, Phil. So the 2 main ones that got you here was you had a caregiver that wasn't certified and you didn't verify skills prior to allowing them to work with your residents. Can you explain that to the board?
The first one, yes, we did not verify the skills. I mean, I have a person who does all the paperwork and that one. The second one, I myself trained the caregiver and I went back and forth with the Department of Health Services.
About?
That was not valid. That she was not trained. I myself trained her, and I said myself because I have house managers and caregivers to do the training, that I do the final questionnaire. In this case, I took this caregiver myself and I did a proper training. She was overqualified, what I saw in 20 years in caregiving. She spoke perfect English, she knew everything, the transferring, she demonstrated everything perfect.
Are you certified as a school?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No. I was certified in Manly for 20 years. But I did submit to the surveyor the report within 2 hours via email. She said she didn't get it. They were sent to enforcement, and then enforcement, I told them I did submit that. I disputed, and they did the hearing. I requested a personal one-to-one. They refused. They said that they don't do it anymore, and still they sent me the enforcement. I filed an appeal. I said this is not right, and I threw a big letter letting them know this is being treated unfair, and they said the decision has been made. So I signed enforcement as well. And in fact, 2 weeks ago, I still went and sat down with them and argued this case for several reasons. First of all, the inspection took place in January. I submitted my POC in February, and then in August, I got a letter to submit the POC. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you have not submitted. Then I spent days looking at my emails. I found it, submitted again. And I told him, here it is. So he said, oh, yeah, sorry, I submitted to Tim Tiffany. He said, oh, okay, sorry, I will submit to the inspector, then she reviewed, and she refused it 3 times after that. Always for a little letter, a little something. And I guess because I request that I don't want this specific surveyor come to my homes any longer.
Do you recognize why the deficiency, regardless of your 20 years of experience?
Yes.
Or great training that you provided, the state does not recognize your individual training. It has to be training as prescribed by.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm not saying that I justify what I'm saying is that I trained myself about the certificate. So then I believe and I feel that care home owners, and I'm going to speak up for all the homeowners, we are between DHS and between NCI Board. Why? There are so many certificates out there that are not valid. And there's no way for you to prove it, there's no way for you to prove it. And we are in between here.
So
there are
you recognize that you can't do this again.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I do my extra measurements. I don't.
So next time somebody comes to get hired at your place.
We do it. That was the only case that we had that complaint, the only person that she was not. And there was a couple of days, she was hired the first week of January, the second week of January, and the special took place the last week of January. And I guess we were rushed to find somebody else. So that was the only case that we don't verify those caregiver certificates, because I have rejected not one tens of caregivers. They come with certificates and I ask questions, like I heard today, they don't speak English, so I assume they that's not a certificate. Or I've seen the green card says they just moved to the country a year ago and the certificate is 2013. I know that it's not valid. I have seen certificates from valid schools right now. The certificate says 2013 before that. When I interview the caregiver has no skills, no clue about caregiving. It's supposedly a caregiver for 10 years. So that means to me that legal schools are given certificates.
So I'm going to go back to this one particular caregiver, mm-hmm. right? This one particular caregiver was not trained by an NCI board approved, or even back when DHS had it. You said that you were rushed.
She did bring a certificate. She brought a certificate. We did not validate it. She brought a certificate.
So you didn't validate
yeah,
the certificate.
Yeah, first aid, TV test, fingerprints, everything. She had everything in place. Yes.
So you didn't validate the certificate.
Our person that didn't fail to do that.
How often are you in the facility?
At that specific site, I live there.
You live there. Mm-hmm. How many residents?
We have last birthday. We have four at a time.
Four at a time. And so, do you normally oversee all of the hiring and signing off on the?
Yes, we have a process that I do the first interview, then I go to the house manager, the second interview, then we do the training.
So she actually produced a certificate?
Yes.
Okay. And the surveyor found it to not be valid?
Correct.
Okay. She had everything else?
Everything, CPR, first aid, and
so
training.
Did you understand at that time that it wasn't valid?
No.
Okay. Because, I mean, with everything else, she still could have been an assistant caregiver, but not on the floor alone.
Right.
So, okay.
No, she had everything. And again, sometimes you see red flags, like they don't speak English, or you ask a basic question, what is your BP? And if they ask you what's BP, like, okay, that's my red flag, then I go deeper. But in this case, I asked questions like BP, like cholesterol, what is this? And she was very good. She knew everything. And we checked references. She had one of the caregivers.
If you did all of that, then how come you got cited for not verifying or validating their skills and knowledge prior to providing care?
I repeat, that was my first. I myself trained her. I validated her training.
Did you document it?
Yes. And in fact, I went with me. I emailed a copy to the inspector within 2 hours. She said that she never got the email. Then I have like at least 1,000 emails with this. And yet, they gave me the code enforcement, and I still have a copy. I have shown it 3-4 times. I've shown 4 emails to everyone, and they just said the decision is made.
They don't have any, they're not given any discretion, even if it's the first round. They're taking people directly to enforcement for this.
From my point of view, this is another tempest in a teapot.
Okay.
I would bet money that these residents are getting good care.
Yeah. Well, I'm prepared to make a motion. I'll move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 19-101 against manager Lydia Rios, B, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is that the manager failed to properly verify caregiver certification training for one employee.
No certificate.
So it's not dismissed. You want to resolve it through a letter of concern. Is that correct?
But issue a letter of concern, correct.
Well, okay, so there's insufficient evidence of...
That's what I said.
Okay.
Board moved the board insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 19-101 against manager Lydia Covillos, but issue a letter of concern. And the board's concern is that the manager failed to properly verify a caregiver training certification from one employee. And Fred seconded. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
This caregiver certificate thing's turning into a nightmare.
It is 11:44 and the...
Go ahead.
And the board's going to take a 10-minute break. Next case is 19-64. Teresita Isidirio?
Yes.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being here today.
Hello.
Hello. Phil, if you could outline the case, please.
This is claim 19-64. The licensee is Teresita Isidirio, who is present here today. And on November 15th of 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Verdant Senior Place LLC located in Glendale. This inspection identified 29 deficiencies in 11 different areas. On April 23rd, 2019, Ms. Isidirio was noticed of the complaint. On May 15th, 2019, staff spoke with Ms. Isidirio and requested an extension to provide a written response. The extension was granted until May 31st, 2019. Staff never received a response from Ms. Isidirio. On approximately February 4th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for two substantiated violations, and Ms. Isidirio is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
Thank you, Phil. So my first question is, how big is the facility?
It's size 4-5.
And how many were there at the time of the survey?
Four.
And were you there for the survey?
Yes, I was.
And how much time do you spend in the facility?
Actually, that is my home. I live there.
That's fine, but how many hours are you physically working there? Not living, but working with the residents?
Okay, I was working there like 8 hours a day.
Okay. And my only other issue is, let's get back to the board granted you an extension on your response.
Yes, I sent a letter on...
Can I finish my statement?
Sorry.
Thank you. So the board issued you an extension, but we never received an extension from the extension. We never got any response back from you. Why?
I sent a letter. I have a copy here.
It says that we granted you the extension until Friday, May 31st, 2019.
Yeah.
And as of that date, we had never received a response from you prior to May 31st, 2019.
What is the address you sent it to?
I have a letter that I sent dated June 30.
That's after May.
Yeah.
To what address?
The same address, 1740 West Adams Street. Suite 2490.
So again, it was dated after May 31st.
Yeah, I spoke with him and I said that I was late because I have my husband had medical issues, so that's why I requested and then I sent this letter.
Where's
okay.
The rest of the stuff?
Oh, sorry. I just took it from my file.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't write down.
And you've been a manager since 2001?
Yes.
So why the 29 deficiencies?
Actually, this is the first time that this happened. My husband is blind, and he had so many, one after the other, medical issues. He had a stroke. Then he had kidney problems, so he was on dialysis. And then he He was on rehab, and I had to be with him because he couldn't see. I had to oversee all his meds because I am his primary caregiver. I did his peritoneal dialysis at home, so basically I am his nurse. And I had a caregiver there that I was, that I hired and worked for me 4 years ago. This was it. So when I hired her, all her documents before was in my old file. So I had her do another one. But I think there were like 3 missing forms that was assigned at that day because I went to the doctor, so I split my mind. No excuse with that. But I was planning on doing this documentation the next day, and I put that again. So that's why all this stuff are in here. But I already corrected everything.
So, I'll go back to my original question.
Yeah.
You're there 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
I understand your husband's having some medical issues. Mm-hmm. I sympathize with you on that. But you have 4 residents with 29 deficiencies in this home. How is the caregiver responsible for that?
No, it's me.
Because that was my question. Why would you?
It was me, because I was not, I not monitoring this stuff. It was all, it should have been monitored by me. Usually I do that every night. Like the MAR, usually I check that every night before I go to bed. But then one thing right after the other, and I, with my husband, I forgot about it. So now I found this, but if I can continue, but I made sure that everything was corrected. And from that time on, I found this very good tool in the website of the Department of Health. They call it surveyor tool.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything was there. So now what I've been doing is every night I will go through this, and every month it's all in here. So I will not forget. So it's like a checklist on me. So everything is in here. So I won't miss anything, even if there's an emergency or what. So, and then I change all my system now, even with the lock of the medicine. There's a separate box in the refrigerator, but it wasn't locked. So now every night, because it does every night that we do the insulin, as soon as it's done, I keep the key together with the key on the main medicine cabinet, so it will not be forgotten, not to be locked. And then every night I would review all the marks, if all is everything there. If I'm not in the home, what I do with my caregiver is I tell them to get a picture of the mark so I could see if they did it that day or not. So, and then every week I would go through with this list, with this tool, to make sure that everything is not missing. That's all I can say, but it's my fault. It was just with my husband's very, I don't know, it's not issues, but, and even with my husband's issue, I had involved my family members now, so I will not get distracted from my job to take care of him with some of his medical appointments. So I will not be the only caregiver right now with him.
Who's responsible for moving people into your facility?
Who's
responsible for moving people into your facility?
Moving?
Mm-hmm. So if a resident wants to move into your group home.
You mean admitting?
Yeah, who's responsible for making sure you've got all of that documentation complete?
It's me.
So what happened with a resident that didn't even have a residency agreement?
Okay, this one, the daughter just lived like 2 houses down to my house. And so he took the contract and said, okay, I got to, before I sign, you just have to sign now. It was November 8th, but his mom came back to 11. So he took the contract to study. She is working night shift. So he said, I'd like to borrow the contract so I can read through it. And he said, you have to return it and sign it. So when the surveyor was there, I said, hey, can you excuse me and just go to her house and take back the contract? And he said, no, it's not here. It's fine. You'll be cited. You will have a citation with that.
When did the resident move in?
She signed the contract 8. The resident came in on the 11, I think. She signed the contract a week before.
But she didn't give it back to you yet?
No, because she's always working at night. So when the surveyor was there, I said, can I just go swing by? There's two houses down below to take the contract. And so she said, no, it's not here in Russell. But then after she left, I went to the daughter and hugged everything on file. So my lesson next time is if it's, I will not get the document out of the house anymore, like we can borrow as soon as they come in.
A lot of this that I've seen is settled these in paperwork.
Still paperwork.
Were you surveyed last year?
Yeah.
Before this one?
That is.
And the policy and procedure and everything was okay at that time?
Yeah, except for the medication, but it was separate.
Okay, so that was separate.
Yeah, so I didn't.
So this time when they came in, they said there were some things that you needed to change in the verbiage, like the termination agreement on the residency form needs to be different.
Yes,
you have to state whether caregivers are awake or asleep. Did you make all of those changes?
Yes, now there's like an addendum, like from 12 every 12 hours, I have to check it because I'm always the one checking the residents at night. And then I have a form that I initial if I go and do my rounds. But in my contract now, I put it as an addendum to keep them informed that there's an awake staff and we check from 12 up to 6 in the morning every 2 hours. And she was okay with that.
Okay. And you changed the part about the termination?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who does all your disaster drills?
Yeah, I'm doing disaster with an employee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your residents?
Yes. And employee every quarter. So there's two, the fire drill and the disaster drill, which include the residents.
Right, so how did you miss the one in September?
That was when I was with my husband. So that's why I said, so I will not miss anything. I have my kids help me with their dad now. So it's not all me, because I will forget it. I don't want to have to go through this a lot. Just before now.
And you got your smoke detectors up?
Yes.
Every room?
Yeah.
Including your laundry room?
Mm-hmm. And then the exit plan, I had it all in the, it's all in here though.
But was it posted?
Huh?
Was it posted on
yes.
the wall?
No, it was, I had one, but only in the front. But the one in the laundry, the one in the bathroom, I had to do I put now. In the hallway, the bathroom, and the laundry, there's exit plans there now.
You're coming up on a survey pretty soon.
Yeah, I have done this. Okay. Yeah.
So you wrote a plan of correction for 28 to 29 deficiencies that was accepted?
Yeah.
And you fixed it?
I didn't done it that month too.
Okay.
It was all in here. I did it like in a week. I was just with my husband. I had everything corrected. And I have this monitoring tool now that's very good.
That's what they use when they survey.
Yeah, but this is everything. It's
everything. Yeah, you're right. That's a good checklist.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So did you receive that letter, Phil? The response?
No, I don't know. I have
but it was mailed
my letter.
It was mailed?
Sure.
Did you put a stamp on it?
This is my copy.
That's your copy, but it doesn't say that it got you.
I don't know. I just gave the original to my son, and I said, like, here, we made this. So, and then I didn't hear anything, so I thought that it got here.
Well, it's the shoulda, coulda, woulda, right?
Yeah, but I called when I wasn't able to do it the first time.
I know. You called, you asked for the extension. And you...
But I did not verify if my letter got here.
Right.
I don't know, that was my...
I think verifying a lot of your documentation and ensuring.
Yes, next time, if I send a letter, I will follow up. So this happened once to like the Department of Health. I sent it through the mail, my deficiency person, never got it. So from that time on, I always go there personally and have them stamped.
Okay, so from now on, you will follow up?
Yes, I will.
Okay, Member Archer, are you prepared to make a motion?
What does the board fancy?
I'm not happy that you do not respond.
And these are some, I mean, these are everywhere. It's a group home of four people and you've got 26 deficiencies and it is from start to finish in every area.
I will tell you, what I've seen a lot of is people had policy and procedures that were new back in 2014, whether they bought them or whatever. And things that have been accepted over the last 5 years, now they're scrutinizing differently, interpreting differently, and they're writing citations for it.
And I think if you look just at that,
Which is just the documentation. Yeah. Okay.
I'll give you that one.
There's issues.
But when you're looking at, you know, issues with fingerprint cards not being done, when you're looking at medication, validating personnel records,
requirements and medication.
Well, I think the state gave technical assistance the first year and half to overtake any other primary grading deficiencies that probably should have.
May I say something?
Not right now. So, I mean, emergency preparedness.
So what do you want to do?
Medication management, there's a lot of medication.
Okay.
There's a lot of medication.
She had issues where her husband was ill, but she couldn't devote the time that she needed to facility. We have residents who are still in jeopardy here. Maybe she should have gotten another manager.
Gotten help.
But instead she chose to go this route and have left her vulnerable people in her.
I'm looking for my form. I'm prepared to make a motion.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3 and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 19-64 involving manager Teresita Pizadero. And the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate that stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250.
Is there a probation period?
Probation with all terms to be completed within
3 months.
Complete a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion and successfully pass a state examination for managers administered by the board. Any cost to the probation or those of the licensee certificate holder.
Melanie, I'll second. Do we have the reimbursement?
Yes. I said 250.
Mm-hmm. And in the motion, I want to make sure we capture not only the ARS 36446.07B3, but also ARS 44610 and R4 33407A1.
Okay. And I will second the amend to your motion. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Nay.
4-1 and motion carries.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
All right.
Okay, next up on the agenda is complaint case number 19-81, Lois Harris. Lois Harris, I'm sorry. Good afternoon, ma'am. Thank you for being here. Phil, if you could outline the case for us, please.
Case complaint 19-81. Licensee is Lois Harris, who's present here today. And on February 5th and February 14th of 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at a deemed adult care home number 2 located in Phoenix. The compliance inspection identified 13 deficiencies in 7 different areas. 2 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. A notice of complaint was mailed to Ms. Harris at her address of record with the board at the time, but staff did not receive a response. Ms. Harris is here today to discuss the matter with the board. And on May 28th of 2019, DHS took enforcement and they imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated repeat violations.
Okay. If you could just verify with Phil your current address, because I'm wondering if we have your current address on record. Looks like we mailed you out 2 letters that you've never responded to. Can you verify your address with Phil?
4321 East Court Street, Glendale.
Is that what we have on record?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So is there a reason why you didn't respond to the 2 letters that we mailed you?
I didn't receive, I'm not aware of any receiving the letters.
Okay. How much time do you spend at the facility?
Only about 20 hours a week.
20 hours a week?
Yeah.
No, maybe not another one.
Would you like to call this young lady up?
She's a witness.
You may call her up. You want to come up? And then identify yourself to the board, please, for the record.
Just turn on the mic.
My name's Suzanne. I'm a caregiver at one of the residents.
And your last name, please?
Suzanne Sanson.
Can you spell your last name for the record?
S-A-N-S-O-N.
Okay. Thank you. And you're a caregiver at one of the residents?
Yes.
Okay. So, Miss Louise, you say you spend 20 hours a week there?
Yes.
How many residents are there?
4.
And why the repeat deficiencies?
Well, so all I can say is, in the beginning of this year, there was quite a problem with a staff with the paperwork. And I gave my notice to the owner of the house that I would be, he should be finding someone new to work there. In February 1st, I had a bad accident and injured my leg real bad. And I told him I could not work any longer, that he needed to find someone new. I got somebody to drive me over there to get my license, and they wouldn't answer. Nobody answered the door, it was locked. And nobody would come to the door. I even checked with the neighbors and they said they never answered the door. And I had a witness with me. I made several phone calls telling them I could not come back to work, that I needed to get my license. Never got a response from the owner at all.
Did you notify the board that you were going to pull down your license or certification of that property?
No, I didn't know I had to.
Did you notify the board that you held your certification of the property?
No.
No? Did you notify DHS that you had hung your certification of the property?
No, I didn't know that I had to.
Did you notify DHS that you were removing your certification from the property? Okay. So that's number one, right? You have to notify us and DHS. Because they want to know who's actually there overseeing the care of the residents, who's the actual manager who's certified by the board to oversee the care. That's number one. So Did you contact the authorities as they were holding your personal property and certification hostage?
Well, I waited a while and kept calling and never got an answer. And I had someone else, Suzanne here, to call for me, and she got the same response.
Why didn't you just call the police?
Well, when I threatened to do that, he gave me my license.
So your last day there was when?
February, the first week of February.
First week of February. So from February the 1st until, well, it looks like they came out the 5th and the 14th.
Anna wasn't there.
Right, but it would be safe to assume, arguably, that the incidents that are here, since that survey took place very shortly after you had left, certainly would fall under your certification, right? Because you'd been there the year prior and was overseeing the community, right?
Right.
Okay. So are you having issues with the owner? Was the owner blocking you and managing this property, or?
That was my opinion, because he wouldn't answer any phone calls. And when I went there several times, the door was locked, nobody would answer the door. And I tried to peer it, and I had actually made a phone call into the doctor that had contacted me to put my license there, and Dr. Patel. And he said he would call that man and get him to correspond with me. And he didn't. He dropped off his paperwork. That's all I have.
Are you working as a manager anywhere now?
No, I'm not.
Do you intend to work as a manager in the future?
Well, I would. Yes, I would like to.
Well, issue is, she obviously doesn't know the rig. She didn't know she had to tell us where she's working, or DHS, or anybody else. If she wants to continue working and continue to do this, she's going to have to take the manager's course over again. It's that simple.
Am I hearing a motion?
I'm hearing it.
Am I hearing a motion?
No, you go ahead and make it. I don't want to do all that. I'm giving you the...
I'll make it.
Thank you.
I can find my cheat sheet.
I used to do motions in the old days.
Okay.
I have to pick up this I'd like to make a motion.
Good.
Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 4-33-407A, and B1. 4, unprofessional conduct and complaint number 19-81, involving manager Lois Harris, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate with stay of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250, complete a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion, and successfully pass a state examination for managers administered by the board, any and all costs of the probation or those of the licensee / certificate.
I'm going to second that because I think it's a wonderful motion.
Okay, so we've got Melanie and Fred. Our roll call.
Member Villafranc.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Was it aye?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you for being here today.
Who's next to
me? We still got 36 to do.
No, 36 to do is deferred. She's
yeah, but that's right.
37 and 39 will be picked up.
Yep.
All right. I'll give it out to you.
Okay.
All right. Meeting still matters. There it is.
Good.
All right. Okay.
Okay, Phil, next we're going to do complaint case number 19-87 involving manager Blasita Smith, who is not here today. But I think we should just go ahead and hear it.
Okay, this is complaint 19-87. The licensee is Blasita Smith, who was invited to today's meeting but is not in attendance. And on March 19, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Loving Heart Assisted Living Service located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 14 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Ms. Smith was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a response and stated that she had issues with working for this particular owner and that she resigned her position as manager on June 15, 2019. As noted that this case was ready to be presented to the board during the August 12th board meeting, but Ms. Smith contacted staff and stated that she was going to be visiting her country and would not be able to attend the August board meeting. An invitation was sent for today's meeting and she has chosen not to attend.
Okay. Is that the reason this Loving Heart thing sounds so familiar to me? Is that a building that's been in front of us a bunch or something?
I
remember last month that we had to defer because she was out of the country. But I mean, so I have just a few issues with it because whenever I read this, her issue is that she wasn't getting paid, so she had a caregiver there that was supposed to keep up with all of the documents because she wasn't going to be dealing with it because she didn't get paid for 6 months.
That's right.
Which makes me then wonder if there was even a manager actually there overseeing the care of the residents, which led to all of these DHS complaints and deficiencies. So I don't know how y'all feel about that, but that's my take.
Did she reply to the second?
No.
To this? She didn't reply?
No, I just mailed the invitation.
Well, we could just go straight to formal hearing.
Oh, no, let's. I would just deal with it the way if she was sitting in front of us.
Okay.
And I believe 40 hours of class might do it.
Start
anything.
Yep, I'll make the motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R433407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 19-87, involving manager of the facility. The board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter reported in the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, the stated suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $350. Complete a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion. Any cost of information or those of the certificate over.
Second. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. The next one is item number 39, complaint 19-70, involving manager Anton, or Constantine Anton. I think the board is very familiar with the name.
Okay, complaint 1970 was originally reviewed by the board during the July 19, 2019 board meeting. At the conclusion of that, the board offered Mr. Anton a consent agreement to resolve the complaint. And Mr. Anton did not attend the board meeting. However, when I was drafting the consent agreement, it was around the time of renewals, and the addresses that Mr. Anton had provided to the board prior to his renewal were the addresses that I had been using. He has moved, and he never got the invitation to come to the board meeting. So you allowed me to defer it so you would revisit it again last month. In contact with Mr. Anton, I told him that, hey, you have a chance to come to the board and talk to them about this case. He says, well, I might be getting a new job in California.
I remember this.
So I tried to stress him the importance of coming to the meeting. And I invited him to today's meeting, and he's not here and didn't show up last month.
That's correct. So I would deal with it the same way I would if he was here.
But just recall, too, that you did offer him a consent agreement.
Can you remind me of that consent agreement?
I may have asked that.
And did he update his address with you? Did he complete an address change of address?
Well, when he renewed, his new address will be in the database.
System.
Right, but I'm just wondering, did he notify the board prior to?
No, the only way I found out is through his renewal application. So you guys, it was voluntary surrender, so.
And that's what we.
That's what.
He doesn't want to sign it.
Oh, well, no, I wanted to give him the opportunity to talk to you folks about the complaint because he never got the notice to come to the board meeting because the addresses we have are no good.
Mm-hmm. But then, once you got the new address, did you resend it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And talk to him on the phone.
And he said that he'd be in California, potentially for a new job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but he knows that we took action and had a consent agreement on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be yes.
Did we send, yes. We sent that to him?
No.
No, I haven't sent him the consent agreement.
But you verbally spoke with him?
Yeah, I spoke with him and told him about the upcoming board meetings.
And he knows of the action?
No.
Okay.
He doesn't?
No, he doesn't know about the consent agreement of voluntary surrender.
Well, I would remain with the consent agreement.
Let's just offer a new consent agreement today because we give an opportunity to come back.
Do we have to offer a new one?
That's, I mean, if you were here before me, that's and before this board, that's exactly what I would say.
We don't vacate the previous motion.
It's a
new motion.
If you're going to rehear the case, then yeah, you'd have to vacate the previous one.
We give him the opportunity to come back, so we could rehear the case.
Right.
And he chose not to come back, so I don't even know, do we even need a motion and just stay with the consent agreement that was already presented for voluntary?
So the time frame for it?
Is this what we're doing right now, considered rehearing the case, even though he's not present, I guess? That's.
We would if he was here, but we are hearing it, yes.
Yeah, we've reviewed it.
Right.
We don't know why he's not here.
Well, Anton Constantine. What they were saying is before the board heard the case, what, back in June?
July.
They offered a consent agreement for voluntary surrender. We found out that the notice to come to that meeting was a wrong address. So we forwarded him, the board, we sent him a new notice, and the board was going to hear it again last month, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't show up. And he's supposed to hear it again this month, didn't show up. Can they go back to the previous board action for voluntary surrender and keep that, or do they have to hear it again today?
Just amend the date.
It's up to you all if you want to remand it back to investigations and rescind your motion. That's up to you to decide that if you want to hear from him in person.
Can we just amend the motion with a new deadline for signing the consent agreement, because I'm sure we did within 10 days. It would have to be signed within 10 days, which was back in June.
Right, but he never got it.
So we just set a new date.
He never received it.
But we're hearing it now, and that's exactly the same motion that I would propose right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can we operate off the original motion and amend the due date that he has to sign it?
Or should we just vacate?
He's never received the consent agreement, correct?
No.
How about if we just vacate the previous motion and just make a new motion today within 10 days?
So you don't want to hear from him, is that what I'm understanding?
We do want to hear from him, but
he's not here.
Three times he hasn't showed up.
Okay, so he's not.
And we've called and had contact with him. He's just choosing not to come.
Okay.
He's been noticed twice.
That's been a job.
Out of state.
However you want to handle it is fine, but if the motion isn't changing, it's still voluntarily surrendering his license.
Right.
And he needs to be notified of that.
So, do we just need to restate the motion?
I don't think so. If you want to do it, it's up to you. If you're more comfortable with it.
Even though it's on, the agenda today for the board action of some sort.
They don't have to take action.
We just make a new motion and just be done with it.
Can we just vote to go ahead and let them mail the consent agreement to be signed within 10 days from this point forward?
Yeah, that's what I propose.
Okay. How about let's just move forward with the consent agreement? He's got 10 days from today to sign the consent agreement or the matter be forwarded to formal hearing.
Good.
Second.
Roll call, Al.
Hold on a second. Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Simmons?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is item C, board review consideration and action on whether to open a complaint. We're going to have to move number 47 to next month because I will need to recuse myself on 47. Therefore, we won't have a quorum. So can we move 47 to next month?
Can we leave us no choice?
Yes.
Do what? And the box is on that one.
Yes, we can go ahead and move it. Thank you, I appreciate that.
Just table till next month?
Yeah, table it till next month.
Now, 46?
It needs to be heard.
46 needs to be heard?
Oh, this mayor being the thing and that building. And I mean, yeah.
Okay.
This needs to be heard, so then the other ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
46.
Is Maravilla the one down by South Mountain or is that the one in North Scottsdale?
South Mountain.
Oh, okay.
So the motion was to open a complaint case on item number 46. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. So we'll open a motion on that one. Next up is number 7. Consent agenda to approve temporary administrator's license, permanent administrator's license, temporary manager certification. Permanent manager certification.
On the last motion, who was the motion, who was the second?
Fred and me. Sorry. Consent agenda to approve temporary administrator's license, permanent administrator's license, temporary manager certifications. Permanent manager certifications pending passing all required examinations within the substitute timeframe or the license or certification will be denied. I make a motion to approve.
Second.
All. So we've got Charles, Susan. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. There are no individual board reviews and considerations at this time for B 1551. Assisted living training programs. Consent agenda to approve assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs and renewals of assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs. Item 52, I will make a motion to approve.
Second.
Charles and Fred, I'll get Fred this go around. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next up is other business. Board may review and consider to take action for item 53, NAB conference attendance. I believe we want to send someone other than not only just Al, but another board member.
In Las Vegas.
One other board member.
In Las Vegas.
Do we get to drop some straws?
We don't want them there. Yeah.
Administrator.
Yeah. President has president. I mean, that's history. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
Do you want to attend?
Yeah.
I think Ken would.
Ken does?
Ken does? Of course he does.
That would be good because Ken has history with all of those folks there and the work that they're involved in.
In Vegas?
It was Vegas.
It didn't matter wherever he meets at, the agenda and all the stuff that goes on.
Yeah, usually it's your board president, but I'm not a nursing home administrator. Ken is, so I would make the motion to allow Ken and...
We're not even going to move, we're just going to send you.
There you go.
Yeah, he's gone.
But we do have to, yeah, so all in favor of that motion, Charles, and I believe you seconded it. You seconded it?
Yes.
All right, Charles and Fred, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, all opposed, same sign, perfect.
You might want to go back and amend it that all winnings are divided equally among the board should be used to engage.
Can I propose a consent agreement that would mandate that they, people would be?
How about we don't stay on track, it's 12:44.
I know, you're doing good.
All right, next up is the financial report.
Okay, I emailed everybody a copy of the financial report for, it actually came in this last week for July and August. We ended up with a ending cash balance of $479,523 at the end of August. We're anticipating revenues to the fund this year about $405,970, which would leave us an ending balance just $423,000 if everything holds the way we think it is.
Would that buy a pound of coffee?
1 pound? I'm not sure about gas though. As far as expenses, we didn't incur very many this last couple months. We didn't get a lot of invoices in at this particular time, but we'll start picking up. I moved everything forward from July and August up through September. So some of those things will be paid in September or October. We just didn't get invoiced like on rent and risk management and some of those bigger bills. We owe them. They're showing as being owed, but...
So we allocated it.
We allocated it, and they're there.
Complaint status report?
I know we got through a couple of them today, deferred that one on Ms. Fuller until next month. The next month's agenda is going to be full, so I'll start working on all that.
I know some of you are asking for a hospital record.
No.
Okay. Licensing report?
We have 2,078 certified managers. 14 of those are temporary with 18 inactive. We have 336 licensed administrators. 22 of those are inactive.
So we're losing managers, it sounds like.
Well, we lost them at the renewal time is where we lost them. About 300 and some, a little over 300. But we pick them up every month from now to the end of the biennium. We lose them every renewal period. So we just kind of start back over and move up. We actually lost fewer this time than we did the year, or last renewal period.
Is it because they can't get through the system?
Well, I was going to ask, there was a lot that were left out that got renewed in time because everybody was inundated with all these renewals that all got processed, I'm assuming.
Yeah, everything's been processed.
There are still enough renewals to make you guys crazy, though.
Oh, super crazy.
Now you can only imagine.
What?
Legislative update?
Don't have any legislative update. The session won't start until January.
And then that's whenever that other Senate bill would pass? I'm assuming go into effect, or?
No, it's in effect right now.
Okay.
As far as rules update on that, I did put in a request, like we all have to, for the exception I went to the governor's office for that Senate Bill 1244 that passed. And in fact, I have not heard back from the governor's office on the exception.
So we have to do that to ask permission for us to build a committee to
move forward to form before we do anything on the rules.
Training program report?
There are 45 training programs. I think we just approved 4 new ones. So as far as the numbers go, the last year, we from September of 18 to September of 19, there were 2,355 people that took the examination for the first time with a 79% pass rate, and then 340, four took it again with a 45% pass rate on the second time. Managers, there are about 14 manager training programs. There were 390 people that tested for the first time with a 78% pass rate. 63 took it a second time at a 70% pass rate.
And board meeting critique.
Thumbs up.
Good meeting. Perfect. Good meeting. All right, then that brings us to the next regular board meeting. Will be held Monday, October the 21st at 1740 West Adams, Boardroom C, Phoenix, Arizona at 9 a.m. And the board is in adjournment at 1249.
Much better than 4 or 5 o'clock.